The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron.
And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, another very special post-draft edition of PFW in Progress. And we're still post-draft here. We're still discussing the draft. It's probably the only place.
We could be saying that till mid-July.
Till
next April.
Seriously.
Saying it? It's post-draft edition.
While everyone else is talking about boring other sports, we're here still focused on the Patriots and the draft. The only place you can get. What are you doing?
Having trouble hearing myself.
He's got these headphones on.
We're not
on.
Having trouble hearing you, sadly.
Oh, my God.
Test. Is this thing on?
Have you seen what you look like in those headphones?
Oh, I can't see.
Oh, my God.
It's very Ferreira-like.
All right.
It's the headphones. It's not my head.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails and discussing
one more hour.
The draft.
Just that guy Alistair Cook is on TV.
Say it now. Paul's here. Eric's here. Andy's here. Kevin's in the booth.
Remember that girl? Remember when we were over there and I don't know what he does.
Where's over there?
Is he the deputy of sport
England.
Or something?
Oh.
But my BBC lady, the blonde,
yes,
who
the blonde
had me on TV.
Yes.
put you on TV.
Brilliant!
She kept referencing Alistair Cook, or Alistair, or however you say it. And he's a young lad.
Well, there's another Alistair Cook who used to be the host of Masterpiece Theater.
No, yeah. But I'm pretty sure this is the one she was talking about.
That's probably the one she was talking about.
Because he has said, you know, sports. Alistair Cook has said by this time next year we're going to have two games, and by 2014 we'll have a team in line.
Oh, no, that was the host of Masterpiece Theater.
Why would he have anything to do? I think he's also deceased, is he not?
I don't know.
It's the gladiators out there, man! Tennis players!
JJ,
I love that voice. No, let's not. Who cares?
Wow.
All right, so guys,
taking over the game.
What do we got for news? Anything?
I got some.
Okay, go.
It's not really news, but
it's
controversial. Good talk radio topic.
Yeah. Controversial
that was
topic.
Had Twitter a flutter last night.
Yeah,
because Andy was calling out the guy who wrote it.
Pro Football Focus is doing their own list of top 100. You know, NFL Network's doing theirs where they had players chime in. I think they've only done 100 through 90 at this point, but Pro Football Focus is doing theirs, and I guess it's numbers-based. You know, the guy we met in Buffalo, and very nice man. They had Tom Brady as the 33rd best player in football for the 2010 season. Strippers sent this to me, so I immediately retweeted with idiotic.
Idiot. Yeah.
No, idiotic. I didn't call him an idiot.
Yeah.
This information is idiotic. There's a difference.
So idiotic information doesn't come from idiots?
It can, but very smart people can produce idiotic information.
Okay.
I want to read their reasoning, which is
flawed.
I don't really understand. brother, this is going to take some reasoning. And let me start by saying I'm not trying to be controversial, nor am I anti-Brady.
Bull.
He's a great player, and he did a tremendous job of what he was asked of him.
But.
And if this was a look at the 100 most valuable players, he'd be a lot higher up. He'd probably be one since he was deemed the NFL's unanimous most valuable player. But it's not, and I'll go back to that point about what was asked of him. I heard a Pats fan use a great analogy that Brady got the highest mark in a school test, but the test he took was easier than everyone else's. It doesn't mean he wouldn't or couldn't score the highest mark, just that the playing field was different. Not buying that reasoning? Okay, it was the dancing from that carnival, which is obviously a joke at the end. But he writes, only Peyton Manning suffered more dropped passes than the 46 of Brady last year. As a key stat, each guy is, and I'm like,
well, that's not his fault, right?
And he had 46 dropped passes and still had the best season in the league.
Right.
So how is he the 33rd best player? And it's basically their reasoning is the offense is so great, he's riding its coattails, which is idiotic.
It's the other way around. He's so great.
He makes
and they're riding his coattails.
Right. Right. As Paul and I were talking about this upstairs, maybe in 06 with Moss and Welker and the new look offense, you could have argued it was a product of all that talent. You don't argue that last year. He had two rookie tight ends. He got an injured guy back. He lost his number one receiver in the middle of the year. He got a guy who used to be his favorite receiver back 5 years later. It was a work in progress, and yet he went 14-2 on a team that had no defense. I mean, I don't understand how you could argue. I mean, I want to go look at some of the people that are ahead of him. Guys you've never heard of, I'm sure. Kareem McKenzie, right tackle, New York Giants, is the 27th best player in football. I mean, Jake Long, left tackle, Miami Dolphins. Drew Brees is 23rd, another quarterback ahead of him. Carl Nix, left guard, Saints. I mean, this is asinine.
Yeah, it's asinine.
He's the best player at the most valuable position in football. They're looking for attention. Exactly, and they got it. I'm giving it to him. It's idiotic.
Yeah.
Stupid.
What were we mad about them last year, last season? There was something else.
They were ripping. They had Brady like seventh on their MVP meter or something.
Yeah, why do they keep doing something, that? They keep doing
for
that.
For attention. It's called smart publicity and marketing.
Well, you know, along the same lines.
And they blatantly lie.
If they had Brady won, I wouldn't have said anything because it's right.
I'll give you another example of smart marketing I came across. The Philadelphia Eagles, before you get into their cheerleader site, it says, warning, mature content. And you have to click, you know, which
makes you click
because
you think
there's
nipples.
And it's no different than what we have, but that's smart marketing.
They make you think there's nipples behind that.
Right.
It's like no matter what they say, there is no sex in the champagne room, but you're thinking there might be sex in the champagne room.
But with this thing, if they're getting bad publicity from Andy and others,
I've already blackballed them.
No, right. But they're
in my, that other one for Paul that told me Bo wasn't any good because he never had a 1,000-yard season?
Oh, cold, hard football.
Yeah. They're blackballed. They can never write anything that I will take with any amount of serious analysis.
Well, that's
where these guys are.
That's the trade-off. If you keep getting publicity on the negative side, eventually people aren't going to take you seriously at all when you do have something good.
You become a clown.
Right.
And then you say I want to run for president, but you're a clown. You can't run for president.
At least the Eagles cheerleader site has, they have cheerleaders on them. It's not like they pretend they have cheerleaders and then there's nothing there.
They're in bikinis like every other site.
Yeah, but at least they have
something. For mature content, there should be at least one photo where you're like, is that a nipple? That may be a nipple. Maybe that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
I know that's not the...
Sure, that'd be nice, but I mean, at least they're giving you something. This site is giving you poor material all the time. And when they do have something legitimate, you're not going to take it seriously because you're like, oh, that's...
Right.
You don't take them seriously.
Last year they had, remember the... all the rankings, positional rankings, and they had like Neil as the best guard in football. I think that's when we actually first started talking about them, and we thought Neil's agent owned the site or something.
Right.
Or it was a promotional tool. Hmm. It isn't.
Yeah.
It's a tool, all right.
Well, okay.
It's a consortium of tools.
You know, Andy already explained how, you know, you might
idiotic
be
it
to,
is.
How you might be able to get to that, you know, if you went through the whole, well, he doesn't have to do as much.
But in there.
Yeah, in 07, that would have worked when they had this high-powered offense and they had a, you know, 3-deep Pro Bowl level at every position, certainly every skill position that year. And they had guys like Dante Stallworth that were, you know, sort of secondary pieces to the puzzle.
Right.
But you can't say that last year. That's just absolute silliness.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was carrying the offense.
Right.
You know, I only wish, if you're going to do it, listen, I'm not a huge fan, as you know, Fred, of all the different you know, the new age numbers that seem to have been permeating all of our sports. In baseball, you have all these different ways to tell you what a guy is. You know, and I'll defend your guy for a second for the Red Sox, Jacoby Ellsbury, who runs like a deer. And they come up with all these UZR ratings that tell you he's not a very good defensive player. I mean, as much as I don't like him, he's a fine defensive player. Is he a standout? No, but... No. There shouldn't be any number or anything with a UZR rating that says, well, this guy stinks. You know, because you find a way with all these numbers. But at least if this site had used that, and said, well, listen, you know, on all of his big throw, you know, we deem a big throw to be A, B, and C.
Right.
And on all of those, he was middle of the pack among the quarterbacks, you know? Or, you know, when it came time to do A, B, and C, he didn't do, they didn't give me any numbers.
Right.
They didn't give me any reason.
And the one number they gave you, what was his passer rating last year, 108 or something? What if he had not had 46 drops?
Right,
what would his numbers have been?
The one stat they gave you was a positive for him. He was victimized by drops.
Right.
You know, second most drops in the league behind Peyton, which I think is funny that Manning and Brady are 1 and 2 and drop passes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the odds of that?
It just shows that they're working with not elite receiving cores.
Right. Right.
Certainly that was the case with Manning with all the injuries.
If they had come up with some sort of statistical breakdown to back up their facts, I would still be just as dubious, don't get me wrong. But at least I would say there was some effort there.
Yeah.
This is basically
33rd?
Just... I'm 33rd because I said.
Well,
that's
I mean,
what
I
says.
Can see some of this.
But
not
to be controversial.
They have another version.
I mean, they could have a draft, and Brady would be a second-round pick.
They have another version that Baltimore fans see that has...
That's asinine.
Ray Lewis as number 50.
Like a first-round pick, though.
This is what they do.
He's Rozai Dowling.
They geo-target.
Customized.
Yeah. First-round value, but, you know, you're really riding the coattails.
Like when you go on a website and the ads pop up to your specific town.
Right, exactly. So they know where you're coming from, and they take your star player and put him in the back of the heap just to get you upset.
And it works.
Be a bad idea.
Start talking
well, no,
fast,
because I've never been to their site, really. I just get it through Twitter and strippers, and people send it. That's the problem with their theory. No one ever goes to the site. It's out there.
I just think that headphone is so funny.
Shut up. Your head is big, too. If you put these on, you'd look just as ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
Might make your shoulders look less fat.
But I don't have them on. You do.
Because they're good. They're really clear. I can hear your
funny because he's
chest hair rubbing against your shirt.
The other news, we found out through Ben Jarvis Green Ellis that Gerard Mayo is the guy that's been running the Patriots practices, player practices. I thought that was interesting.
Kraft and Mayo
Who's
go
Adam?
Together.
What?
Who's Adam?
Adam who?
What? At them. The practices, I mean.
Evidently, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Gerard Mayo. There's no question Gary Guyton's there because he can't do anything without
Well, last I had heard, it was Guyton, Mayo, and Kyle Arrington. And I'm like, well, that's not really
as impressive
as Drew Brees getting 37 guys
getting
to
the entire defense.
My guess is
Rob
Ninkovich has been around because he talked about that in the one of those events that I went to earlier in the
And he'd been rehabbing, though, so he had a
reason
to be.
It's a few guys working out. It's not exactly Jets camp West or...
Can we get into that?
The Giants were working in the rain yesterday.
Can we get into that a little bit? Talk about these de facto OTAs that teams...
Captain's practices?
Yeah, captain's practices. How important do you think they are? What do you guys think of that stuff?
I like to see it.
Unless, you know, if the teams gave these guys instructions before they broke for the last time and they're doing the things that the coaches want them to do, I think they could be somewhat valuable. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of guys working out.
I mean, Gerard Mayo knows the stuff they should be doing, the stuff they should be wearing. He doesn't need instruction.
I mean, if they're doing certain things that I think will be usable once they come back as a team, okay. Otherwise, they're just lifting weights, right, and running and conditioning.
No, I think they're doing on-field stuff.
Some
you know, working
stuff.
On mechanics, working on, calling out play. Like in Mayo's case, he's probably like if he had his whole defense, he could line up the defense. They could pretend that they were
they're in Mayo's basement working on the bowl flex.
Yeah, I just don't know how much they can do.
I think for a few guys, it could be helpful. I think like Taylor Price is the guy that I think if he were working out with Branch, Welker, and Brady somewhere, just those guys doing skeleton type stuff,
right?
I think that could be valuable.
Yeah, I was
beyond
thinking,
that.
Yeah, more defense is tough, you know.
But even on offense, I don't think it's all that valuable for some of the guys. But a guy like Price, maybe a guy like Hernandez, the young guys that are still in that early stage.
It's not going to hurt. It's not like I'm sitting there
Lee
saying
Smith.
that this whole thing with New Orleans is ridiculous. Yeah, it's not going to hurt. It can only help them.
Helps in team building.
But I don't think it's anywhere near as valuable as it's being painted out. Well, let me just put it that way.
No, I think you'd
strippers is all worked up. The Jets are doing it and we're not.
Well, I think you'd rather see your team do it than not.
I think Drew Brees, this is not any shot at Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is a stand-up guy. I respect him and what he's evidently paying for a lot of this as well, paying for the facilities, the insurance and whatnot, and he's even paid to have some people, some of the younger guys, he's paying for them their lodging. This is not to say Drew Brees is a fraud. I just don't think it's as important to have these sort of unofficial OTAs. I don't think that's going to help them win a whole lot of football games. the way virtually everybody else does. I'm on an island on this one, sort of by myself.
What are you doing? A lot of people,
Andy's right. A lot of people are up in arms that the Patriots aren't doing it, and I just don't think it's all that.
No, we got an email from Mike in Portland, Maine, that said he was having trouble streaming the show live on his iPhone. So I just did it on my iPhone. It was working, so I don't know.
So that was us talking?
Hello! Yeah, that was us through my iPhone.
Is there an echo in here?
Yeah. So I just...
So I don't know. Mike, I don't know what to tell you. It was working here. Maybe you refresh, try it again.
I was curious to see what you guys thought about it. And I understand. Would I be upset if Brady organized the whole team? No, I think that would be great. I think that would be a great thing. I don't think it would hurt. Let's put it that way.
No.
I just don't think it's as big of a positive as it's sort of being portrayed with the Jets out west and the Saints have been, I think, probably the most impressive with the amount of people and the fact that Breeze has really been instrumental in organizing it.
But it's also one of those things, if you think it's a benefit more than it just being a benefit.
You're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what I would love to have happen this season, and I know it's a fool's, it's not going to happen, but I would love to have them come out in September and in October and just play some of the best football you've ever seen. And you just look there and you say, you know what, like training camp gets solved.
They get
like
a bounce in their step. They're fresh.
I'd love to see it happen in the middle of August. Training camp, they come back, they shorten training camp, and they just play. And everybody, like from, you know, young, sarcastic jerks like Andy and me to the most crusty, old, you know,
like
75-year veterans of the NFL.
Well,
say,
that's still you.
This is the best NFL football I've seen in 20 years. They are just, they're lighting it up, man. The execution.
Right.
I'd love to see that happen. I know it won't. I know what we're going to see is so-and-so day-to-day hamstring. So-and-so
sloppy
day-to-day
football.
Hamstring.
Yep.
Turnovers,
mm-hmm.
penalties. That's what we're going to end up seeing this year, which to me, I would argue, is exactly what you've seen over the last 10 years, because I think the football play in general has been abysmal, but everybody's going to make a big deal out of it.
Last year was one of the worst.
Because there's been no OTAs. No one can tackle. Everybody agrees on that.
God.
Right?
Well,
but you watch.
Not, Eric's going to get all worked up.
But you watch, though, Andy.
Well, you got worked up already in the show.
There'll be a ton of missed tackles early in the season.
It's a new work.
There'll be long returns on special teams, and everybody will say, see, this is what happens when you don't have OTAs. This is what happens when you don't work out 87 hours a day. You can't be ready to play NFL football. There is no off season, even though that's what's been happening every year. Everybody like Eric complains about this stuff every season. No one can tackle. No one can do this. The fundamentals are lost.
You got lumped in with the idiots there.
I did.
So, you know.
I did.
I can guarantee
that,
like the week four argument with me and Paul. Paul, you have to admit this year is worse than other years. I don't think... Well, you know, and that'll be the argument.
And I'll be going.
But the only difference between you and I, Fred,
yeah,
is if I think it's actually worse than it is the last few years, I'll say I think that this is worse. I'll say this is worse. You will never, ever say it.
Oh.
You won't. And I know you won't.
He's calling out your credibility.
No, I'm not calling out his credibility. I'm just saying that he'll think it. He won't be lying. He'll be thinking this is worse.
He's a method actor. He believes it.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. We got a lot of emails. A
lot of emails.
So,
we'll take a break.
No.
What time is it?
Let's get to some. Joey Feet writes in. We haven't heard from him in a while. He says, hello, fellas. Just a little bit of a rant here from here in Florida. While it is difficult to cite any one player as being a bad pick, Solder at 17, fine, we need a left tackle for the future. Trading 28 to the freaking Saints of all teams. Yeah, Belichick has his two first-rounders security blanket, and I do see the value in the trade. Okay. Razi at 33. You can never have enough quality at cornerback, et cetera, et cetera. The glaring weakness on this team is third effing down. We got Osama bin Laden. When are we going to get someone that can actually sack a quarterback? What is Belichick waiting for? Last in all meaningful defensive statistics? Last in all. Pick and insert any or all of the following adjectives. Mystified, bewildered, suicidal, incredulous, shocked, dismayed. You get the point. I don't get it. The one glaring, gaping hole in this team, and Belichick essentially completely ignores it. I have a better chance of getting to the quarterback telepathically from Florida than the current roster. If Belichick doesn't add two good outside linebackers and or linemen to create decent third down pressure, I will have to give have to hope we go 4-12 soon so we can get a top 10 pick, but Belichick still won't get a damn outside linebacker. Other than that, it was a great draft. Guys, I got to tell you, the draft coverage was just awesome. You are just doing a terrific job for all of us fans. The coverage was really great, informative, highly entertaining, very funny at times, and I love the job you guys do. Thank you, Paul, Fred, Andy, and Eric. Joey Feet, P.S., it would be so cool if we could sign someone who could rush the damn quarterback.
And I'd like to add to Joey Feet's email by saying this week we've seen already at least three or four 2012 mock drafts.
Yep.
With the two Patriots picks, and most people are predicting that they're going to be in the late 20s again because they'll probably make the playoffs. And there, a couple of them are already predicting that New England is going to take a North Carolina outside linebacker slash defensive end named, I always forget his first name, but it's Paige Moss is his last name.
Joey Feep.
Well, there's actually two of them. There's actually two outside linebacker defensive end types out of North Carolina,
right,
that are going to be first-round picks.
And the Paige Moss kid is the one that, as his name keeps coming up on these mock drafts.
And then there's also a kid out of Clemson.
The other guy's last name began with an S, I think.
I think you're right, it did.
Yeah.
But is it really? Do we really want to start that right now?
No. But, no, my point is, I don't know why people are already thinking that, because it's not going to happen, because they're going to trade away a couple of those picks, and the person isn't going to be to Bill's liking anyway. So stop even thinking about it. Stop getting your hopes up.
All right,
it's not going to happen.
Bad news for you, Fred, is McShay has the Patriots picking 31.
Good.
That means they lost the Super Bowl.
Good, he says.
Donald has another side of this of the story. He says, I've been told that I have a face for radio, but I choose to write anyway because this way I can compose my thoughts without interruption. I'm listening to the podcast of the last show and would like to share something. Have you seen the article by Karen Garigian, Patriots Draft at Key Purposes? She purposes that this draft, or proposes, was all about the... was all about beating the teams they will run into in the playoffs, the Ravens, Jets, Giants, and unrelenting pass rush.
Got to make the playoffs first.
Look at the playoff losses and what is it that brought down this team? These teams have disrupted Brady because they dared the Pats to beat them by running, and the Pats weren't up to the challenge. Solder will be an upgrade over Light, who, despite playing in the game, was never a Pro Bowl tackle. Marcus Cannon has potential to be a real animal at guard. Look at the article. She makes a lot of sense. So
that's an ambitious projection on Solder in year one. That's an equally ambitious projection on Cannon in year one, considering he might not play at all this year. So maybe down the road, okay, fine.
Yeah,
but I'm talking immediately, that might not be the case.
I saw the article, and I thought it was, even though Karen is one of my favorite writers, and favorite Patriots beat writers, I thought it was very flawed. I don't think that you, especially in the NFL, there's all different teams. Now, the Jets, that's fine. That's a division team. You're always going to play them twice, and they're always going to be a rival. But anything outside of the division, that's, to me, I think that's short-sighted, much like when we criticized Houston several years ago. Mario Williams. Now, if they thought Mario Williams was better than Reggie Bush, and they turned out to be fine with that pick, by the way, that's fine. But you don't just take him just to play against one team and say, well, that's why I'm going to take him. I don't think that you set up your team to play against the Jets or play against the Ravens or, you know, solely.
Well,
number one. Number two, neither one of those teams has a great pass rush, or didn't have a great pass rush last year, I should say. Number three, I don't think the offensive line was the reason why the pressure was there. I think, as Fred has been maintaining throughout the draft process, it was more a result of good coverage by the Jets that allowed time for that pass rush to get there. Now, the one thing that I will agree with is Patriots need to find a way to be able to run the ball better when teams do this. They dare them to run, and they didn't always make them pay for it. And certainly that has been the case in the playoffs. But I don't think that you and Eric's point about the immediate future, that I find it awfully hard to believe that on September 11th, you're better at left tackle if Nate Solder is playing than you would have been if Matt Light is playing. And I am not a huge Matt Light fan, but the kid's a rookie. The other guy's got some experience. He's played. He's got to be, in the immediate future, a better alternative. Now, I understand about the economics. If they don't re-sign Matt Light, I don't think that's a bad move. They need to move on. But you haven't improved. You haven't. If that was the reason why you lost last year, then it's going to be more of a problem this year than
plus,
it was last
even
year.
Even if he is better, it's unlikely he's going to be better as a run blocker. Really unlikely.
Yeah. But, however, if you do feel that, you know, the line is a upcoming problem, you have to address it at some point. So for those reasons, I think we all say it was a good pick.
That's fine, just not for the reasons of so we can play against the Jets in the playoffs.
I will say that, you know, and I agree, you know, I'm not sure about the immediate effects, but I do say that, you know, if I'm Bill Belichick or if I'm Fred Kirsch, which I am, one of the images that I have of that Jets playoff game is Brady just standing there looking, and having nowhere to go with the ball.
Yep.
And like Paul said, the Jets dared us to run. And, you know, after that 45-3, even after that game, the Jets knew, okay, this time Woodhead isn't going to do to us what he did before. And they were right. They, you know, the Patriots had nowhere to go. So I don't know if getting Solder now and Ridley and Vereen right away is going to help that. But hopefully, you know, the Patriots have to address that. They have to get a running game that other teams have to pay attention to. And they don't have it right now. They may not have it in 2011 unless these guys, you know, all of a sudden mature very quickly. But that is something I do think they need to address.
Well,
and they did.
If they're going to have it, I'm of the belief they'll have it in 2011 at some point.
It's
2011.
In 2011.
I'm a big believer that, for the most part, running backs can run. And if they're going to be that guy, if Shane Vereen is good enough or Stephen Ridley is good enough to be feared in a couple of years as the elite guy, you're going to see bits of that, flashes of that immediately, pretty quickly. Because running backs, they usually bite as puppies.
No, they do. That's the one position coming out that you can excel at right away. It's such an instinctual type of position.
And pass rusher.
Yeah.
I also put in that category now.
But I still think teams will dare the Patriots to run right away, and it'll be up to the Patriots to, you know, change that. I don't know if Solder will be able to right away be part of that.
He won't.
Are we ruling out Matt Light? I mean, is it?
Yes.
Not according to Jonathan Kraft.
I am.
Jonathan Kraft was on ESPN Radio on Friday. It has been brought to my attention. I did not hear this, but it's been brought to my attention that he said that they have every intention of doing whatever they can to get him back. Does that mean he's going to be back? No. But that was after they made the Solder pick. He said that they still want Matt Light back.
So, I mean, maybe, you know, we're jumping to conclusions here that, you know, they're not going to have Matt Light. Maybe Solder will have a year to kind of learn and take his place.
I think that could just be trying to play nice in the media. I don't know how strongly they feel about that.
I don't either, but
I'm also not sure how I feel about that, about the pick.
If he comes back.
It makes me detest the pick. I go from loving the pick to detesting it if they re-sign Light.
Now we got all these guys that can help us in 3 years. He was one of the guys I thought would actually help us next year, actually would play. If I have to add him to Mallett and Cannon and Dowling as these long-term projects, yeah, patooey.
Is Light useless as a guard?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a consideration, but I don't think he'd want to play. He's a Pro Bowl left tackle. I don't think he's just going to accept a one-year stint as a guard for you.
So we all here believe that, you know, he's a borderline Bowl tackle. He probably should, you know, some of
reputation. He's a very capable and competent player, meaning he's slightly above average.
So the question is, what do other teams think? Will he get that type of money that he, you know, that
yes.
will take
I
him away?
I believe so.
I just think someone will offer him 3 years, and he'll take it. I can't see us offering more than a year.
Right.
Right. And I also can't see us offering $4 million a year, even for a year. Whereas I think Paul's right. Not only I think he'll get a multi-year deal, and I think he'll get $3.5-4.5 million because he's still playing at a pretty high level,
good signing bonus.
That's a position that can hurt you. And if you can find a veteran guy with his experience, I think you do it.
Do you think? Well, I mean, here, this is really wild speculation, but do you think, you know, Dante Scarnecchia knows these guys better than anyone? And he says, yeah, if we converted Light to guard, we could get another 3 years out of him, and he'd be worth paying.
But they wouldn't pay him.
is my point. They wouldn't. That he'd be a guard. He wouldn't be a tackle. So he wouldn't get the money that he.
But maybe he'd
for.
Be willing
now,
to play here
think,
for $2 million a year.
I do think
$6 million over 3 years.
I do think he could play guard, like Andy said. I think he could.
He might be
make
able to,
move.
But I don't think he'd want to.
I just think
if he
get
wants
more
to
money.
Do that, then yeah, he'll be back.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the wild card in all of these things. You know, you can never completely dismiss it because sometimes guys just want to come back. Matt Light might be one of those guys. He certainly has said that enough in the past that he how much he likes it here and wants to stay here. So if that's what he ends up doing and he just says, I know I can get the 3-year deal worth $3 or $4 million a year, but I'd rather stay here for less.
Right.
Then he could be back.
Okay. He's got a family. I mean, he might just be settled and say, this is where I want to finish my
that's
career.
That's definitely a possibility.
Roll right into the alumni club and just become a New Englander or whatever. That's always the wild card. But on paper, he'll get money somewhere to play left tackle.
Okay. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is I'm just looking at this one email. Zach writes in, please, less callers and more of Andy talking about breasts. Thank you. We haven't had any callers yet, so I don't know. It's kind of
and
a,
Andy hasn't talked about breasts at all. Breasts.
Preemptive email. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll get to more of your emails and calls.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You ask,
how come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to 4 lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Kathy writes in to webradio@patriots.com, and she says, I'm a retired high school teacher or school teacher from Ohio, and I enjoy watching the football draft in the spring. As I was watching, I saw the story about Marcus Cannon and would like to make contact with him. I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 1987 and underwent treatment and have been disease-free for 23 years. Well, I think, how do you contact our media relations? Is it mediarelations@patriots.com?
Not sure.
I don't know.
Usually go by just
But
the
if you go to patriots.com and go into the feedback section, I think you can direct an email to media relations and, you know, send them a request. So I'm sure we're going to get a lot of those types of things. People, you know, giving him some encouragement as he goes through that. Mm-hmm. He's now a member of the Patriots family.
Organization.
I don't like saying that, though, family. You don't cut people you are a family member, right?
It happens.
You're out.
Gary from Connecticut points out that Doug Flutie's daughter, Alexa, is now a member of the Patriots cheerleaders.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Have you seen the photos?
No, I saw a video of her riding a bull.
Have you seen the unfortunate photo?
No. There's a photo of her, I think, at CBS Scene.
Yeah.
And behind her is clearly an umbrella that's folded up.
Yeah.
So, but it looks like a large phallic symbol.
Oh, boy.
Well, pretty much anything.
The bull
This
to you.
Someone came to me.
No, this actually looks, yeah.
The bull riding video is pretty sweet, though.
I haven't seen that.
Where's that?
It was on the front of Barstool Sports.
Where was it?
I mean,
oh, I think.
Classic.
It was at, like, the Salty Dog or something like that.
All right. Ben writes in, I'm a 10th grader in Kennewick, Washington, and I'm excited about the coming season, and I agree with you about the line situation.
When is that season, the coming season?
We are usually losing some good players due to injury, but I think that we have a chance as long as the coaching staff can do what we did last year. I agree, Ben. I think we've got a shot. Bill Berry writes in, first, although this is Paul's favorite emailer, although this sounds like a smart-aleck joke, is Razai better pass rusher than Kyle Arrington? Second, I've heard that accuracy is not coachable. Is Mallett's reportedly questionable decision-making coachable? I don't know about that. Paul's about to say something.
I think decision-making can be can be coached, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it all depends on how much the guy wants to be coached.
Yeah, there's only so far it can go, though.
But, yeah, I would agree with that. I think you can get better as you get more experience and learn what you can and cannot do. I think that can be improved. But I also agree accuracy is something you can only marginally improve. I mean, you can either throw the ball where you want or where you can't.
Right.
At this, I mean, as an adult.
Right.
I just spoke, actually, with Ryan Mallett's quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator.
Yes.
And in terms of your coachability thing, if the guy wants to be coached, he has no questions there. Zero questions. That he, like Bill said, Mallett's a football guy. He's going to work as hard as anyone to get better. He loves the game, studying all the little things that you got to do to be good. He thinks he's off the charts on. He also thinks he has good accuracy. I asked him about the short passing game. I said, everybody knows he's big and has a strong arm, but what about all these screens and short passes to Welker and Branch? And he said he's actually really good at that stuff because he has a quick release, so he gets rid of the ball fast, and he's very accurate. The ball gets there quickly and accurately, so it gives the receiver the ability to make a play, read the block. It gets the play going faster. So he thinks, it might be a little biased, but
yeah,
he thinks that he'll be fine here. I thought the funniest comment was, he said perfect situation about 10 times, and he goes, and it's great. And, you know, he'll learn for 4 years, and then I'm excited to see when he steps on the field in 4 years. So it's like he's reading the Brady contract.
Right.
Mallett was drafted. 4 years from now, he takes over.
Did you happen to bring up the Drew Bledsoe comparisons that some people are making?
They don't compare at Arkansas.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said their first thing, it sounds like they have one of the signs like we have here, and that players come in, and loyalty is number one, and part of loyalty, some subsection of loyalty, is we don't compare. Whatever you were before, we don't compare you to this, we don't compare you to that. Come here and you're one of us, and we just take you as you are for what you are right now.
So did he say anything to you about his frustration from time to time with the types of decisions Mallett would make?
No. No. We talked a little bit about that, but he didn't really...
Couldn't really goad him into it?
No.
Byron from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I hear a lot of people bashing the Stephen Ridley pick, and while I agree at face value it seems like a reach, I think people are discounting his full skill set as a running back. Many have labeled him strictly a power back with some potential at fullback. What many people fail to realize is that he offers a lot more than that. He is very shifty and capable of making defenders miss on the regular runs. He only had one productive season at LSU because, like the Patriots, they have a running back by committee approach. He is my pick for surprise impact player for next season.
Based on what Paul and I have been told, he might be the Patriots' pick for surprise impact
player. Is that right?
They really like Stephen Ridley, more so than any of us could have imagined.
You know, and from what you were telling me, I kind of equate their liking Stephen Ridley the way they liked Vollmer the year they picked him.
Yeah, they were very high
on
him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have similar success, it'll be very good for this team.
Okay.
Because obviously Vollmer was pretty impressive pretty quickly.
Let's see.
It'd be interesting to hear how – you remember how Bill was really effusive in the praise for Vollmer pretty early on in his career, talking about the ability to play both sides and all his various strengths? Be interesting to see some of these guys as we get into hopefully training camp in the preseason and that first month of the season. Mm-hmm. If Ridley is a guy that, you know, you start hearing a lot of praise for because of all the things he can do and his skills and all that.
Another emailer, my name's Romo, he says, and I just wanted to say I love your guys' online radio. I'm a huge Patriots fan. How do you think the team will do in 11? Well, Romo, you just keep listening.
In 11.
And we will let you know. Because that's all we do is we talk about the Patriots.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Is that Tony?
Could be. It would figure that the Tony Romo was a fan of the Patriots instead of his own team.
Why would that figure?
I don't know. His head's somewhere else.
Did he get married?
What do you got there, Paul? Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's greasy. It could kill me. Sure, sure. Pass it over. I finished my buffalo wings. I'll have some fries.
I was kind of I didn't actually finish them all, and it's unsatisfied.
You're craving dessert, aren't you?
And we should special thank you to Nelson, right?
Nelson in New Hampshire.
Nelson in New Hampshire was so nice.
Stepping up very nicely today and providing us with a terrific lunch.
Yep. K-Stew writes in.
Why are both those bottles open?
Because Fred opened the one after I had already opened
one. What is wrong with you?
That's what he does.
There's two bottles of soda. One is already open. You can't finish one, and then
the other one was closer.
Plus, there's plenty
Plus,
there's plenty of Coke in the thing, and that's what he likes.
Yeah, supposedly you're a Coke man.
Actually, Diet Pepsi is better than Diet Coke. There's no doubt about it. But regular Coke is better than regular Pepsi.
That's inaccurate.
And I think that the two of the companies made the agreement. We'll own the Diet. You guys will own the regular.
Speaking of tangents here.
That'd be one of the greatest stories ever. Were working together.
I also have to give Freddie props. We were talking on Monday when we came in, you know, after the news about Bin Laden and all that stuff. And Freddie was talking to Eric and I. I'm not sure, Andy, if you were still there, about how they should handle the aftermath, you know, in terms of the photos and all that stuff.
Yep.
And Freddie says what Obama should do is get Bush with him. As they announce whatever they do
when they go to ground zero.
If they go to ground zero, and he did. He asked. Now Bush turned it down
Because he's going to go with him in September.
Yeah,
anniversary.
I actually think Bush was right to turn it down because this is, you don't need to be taking credit for something that you didn't do. And I understand I like what Obama did. Mm-hmm. I like the way this was handled, but Freddie Kirsch ahead of the curve.
I just thought it would
establishing a political.
I thought it would have been nice for Bush.
President.
Thought it would have been nice for the country.
Well, I agree.
To see them both there together because neither one of them did it.
But I agreed with you. Remember last night before I left, we came and talked about this. I didn't know that Bush was already planning to go in September.
Yeah.
So he's going to go for the actual 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
So I think that'll suffice.
But I don't even if he wasn't going to go, I think Bush made the right move declining.
Christ, I thought that it would have been nice. I thought it would have been nice when Obama
talk about uncalled for.
When Obama came out to make the announcement the first time, I thought it would have been nice if he walked down that hallway with Bush. I thought that I think
almost got me to snarf there.
That's the kind of thing I think this country needs to see more of.
You're right.
You're reaching
feel the need to say Christ
lines.
There.
Oh, whatever. K. Stu is a big Patriots fan. He writes
next time
in
he's going to say Vader
at Web Radio. Oh, by the way, isn't today Star Wars Day? Official Star Wars Day?
They have
Day?
That?
Yeah. It's a national holiday.
Loser.
Why, was this the day the movie came out back in
I don't know,
77?
But it's Star Wars Day.
Huh. Losers.
K. Stu is a big Patriots fan. He says, I agree about how we drafted to protect Tom Brady. Drafting two two tackles, two running backs, and the best blocking tight end in the draft will help protect Tom Brady and give us a running game that can keep our defense off the field. Listen, I'm dying for us to get a pass rusher too, but we don't need to draft a player at a position of need if the players on the board aren't better than what we already have. I trust Bill Belichick. If there was someone on the board that fit our system and would have helped our football team, we would have made a move to get that guy.
That's baloney. I don't trust that. That's baloney. That's baloney. You're telling me that there's nobody in this draft who could be better than any of the people who are on this roster right now?
It's nonsense. What Paul said. If there was someone they thought, they would have done it. But they're sometimes wrong.
No, my point is the question isn't what the emailer said. It's not nobody that was available was better than Tully Bantakan, Rod Ninkovich, and those guys, Jermaine Cunningham. The question is, were the guys that were available better than Rasai Dowling, or better than Shane Vereen, or better than Stephen Ridley? That's the question, because that's who they picked instead.
And
they didn't pick Rob Ninkovich instead of Brooks Reed.
And they obviously don't think so. They've been wrong.
Yeah, no, their evaluation was the players they picked were better than the ones available.
Right.
We'll find out what's right.
We'll find out.
But that's the evaluation, not the players available aren't as good or better than the guys we already have.
Right.
Especially at that position where you need to add at least a body. You got by a quarterback with two bodies. You got by an outside linebacker by the skin of your teeth.
The only way that a team would really vary for that is quarterback. You know, they would say, well, I don't have a quarterback.
Which they all did.
You know, let's just say for argument's sake, a complete hypothetical, Tom Brady decided to retire in the offseason. And Brian Hoyer was the only Brian Hoyer and Jonathan Crompton were the only quarterbacks on the roster. There's a chance that they would have taken any one of those guys that got taken, any of those six that got taken before Mallett. Now, maybe they would have just taken Mallett in the first round if they had to do that, because they clearly felt Mallett was a lot of value. But they would have taken him because they think he's better. Now, they may have a better player than Ryan Mallett on the board that they left there, because they had to have you have to have a quarterback. Can only have one play, and you need one. So that would be the only difference to me as quarterback.
K-Stu finishes it up. He says, besides, Belichick doesn't go after one-trick ponies that are just pass rushers. He looks for outside linebackers that are strong against the run, that are disciplined and make timely sacks.
That's true.
As you said in the past, As you said in the past, he rarely finds that kind of player coming straight out of college.
He's never found that kind of player, period. He's been looking for 11 years, but really hasn't found one. Maybe Mike Vrabel might be the only one.
We found Bin Laden faster than he was outside linebacker.
Right? Everybody else that he's gone after and gotten.
Well, you know,
the outside linebackers and compounds anywhere.
When they got Vrabel, he was
going to Pakistan and look for an outside linebacker.
When they got Vrabel, he was a restricted free agent, right?
No, he was a regular free agent.
Well, he was? I thought that they had to give up a draft pick to Pittsburgh for him. No? Well, anyway, they
make your story better.
Now, they got Vrabel, and he wasn't really one of the big Steelers. He was a
no, because, you know, it's funny, because
he only made one play.
The same conversation yesterday that led us to believe that we're pretty high on Ridley, same kind of thing. He doesn't really fit Pittsburgh's system. You know, he's a little bit bigger.
Right.
First of all, he was a decent player with Pittsburgh, a decent rotational sub player for Pittsburgh, but a little bit bigger than those regular, you know, the James Harrisons and Lamar Woodleys of the world. Taller. But, yeah, he definitely does all those things that the emailer talked about.
But, you know,
he's the only one that they targeted that did that.
Well, that's the thing. They, you know, what was it about Vrabel, you know, that they knew, yeah, he can do what we want him to do here? It'd be interesting to have Belichick talk specifically about what they saw of Vrabel at Pittsburgh and his limited role that told them he could fit into our system.
Well, but I think whatever they saw in Adalys Thomas told him he could do it.
And Roosevelt Colvin and everybody else that they've gone after inside. You know,
Vrabel did it.
Well, you can make the argument if Colvin hadn't hurt his hip, he may have.
Yeah, maybe.
He never would have been the guy to set the edge in the run and drop into coverage effectively and do all the things that they wanted him to do. He was
what the emailer says
that Belichick doesn't go after. He was a pass rusher.
He was a pass rusher.
He made plays. He was average.
Yeah, now that, but see.
But that, you could argue,
he was not Jason Taylor when they signed him.
No, but I think you
can
make Fred's argument there.
Absolutely you could.
You know, he may have been that 10, 12 sack a year guy if he hadn't gotten hurt. He had 10 and a half each of the years heading in, right?
Mm-hmm.
He may have been a guy that could have given you that had he not been hurt.
He wasn't a 10 sack guy.
That one I give a pass.
Multiple times had 10 sacks.
Okay.
And did he have a... That was the second or third game, Philly?
Second game.
Second game of the season.
And he had a sack in the first game, right?
That's correct.
And he had one against Philly.
I don't know that to be correct, but he definitely had one in the first game.
Did I was going to go with my old Randy Moss. He averaged a sack a game on a good hip for the Patriots.
I think you're right. I think he did have one.
I think he did.
I know he recovered a fumble when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Alex writes in, first-time emailer.
Welcome aboard, Alex.
My question is about Nate Solder and running back Shane Vereen. At the 2011 NFL Combine, Solder benched 21 times while Shane Vereen benched 31 times. Since Vereen is stronger than Solder, based on the Combine, how skilled is Vereen as a blocker?
Oh, he's a pretty good blocker. That's part of the Cal system. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty pro-style system where you have to pass protect. No, you don't mean in terms of, like, lead fullback type blocker,
I think
right?
He might have been kidding. I don't know. Like, maybe.
He was probably kidding, but...
I'm sorry, I was being serious. I thought we talked football.
Occasionally.
Solder does have much longer arms. Let's give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt there, and he's a developing body, physique.
Well, the question is, what does the average tackle do for reps?
I don't know. I remember Nick Kazier
this year, weak as sin. This year it was, I believe, 28 might have been the average.
It seems low to me.
33?
Well, which is
41?
I had to do the averages for a couple of positions.
Apparently not well.
No, I can't remember which one was which now.
I couldn't remember the averages in my positions that I did.
I think it was 33, Paul.
Of course.
Actually, I think
you haven't done them yet.
No, I have.
Oh.
I think it was 33 for this year's class.
Yeah, really? That sounds high to me.
I think it was.
Why, because of the long arms?
I think a lot of tackles come in benching mid-20s.
So 21, not overly low to you.
I'm pretty sure Nick Kazier had like 14, some ridiculously low number, if I recall correctly.
Nick Kazier.
I'll look it up when we go upstairs.
Somebody look that up. Strippers, look that up. Nick Kazier's 225. Oh, isn't that why we had this computer?
Yeah, but he's from Canada, so he was lifting kilograms. let's see. Alex,
22.7, isn't that what it says on the... Isn't that because it's 2.2 or something?
Alex from Philly.
Another first-time Alex?
Yeah.
Wow. It's Alex Day here on PFW Progress.
I know everyone is angry and upset that we didn't get a pass rusher, especially since Robert Quinn fell lower than expected.
Only Eric is angry.
I also know that people
are... Yeah, it's amazing. I've moved on.
I also know that people are looking for someone to blame for all of this.
Eric.
I've heard names like Andy Hart, the Raiders, and even Eric. I don't know why, thrown around as scapegoats. In my opinion, there is only one person to blame for all of this, ourselves. Yes, you heard me, Paul. Ourselves. Why? Because let's face it.
Because you listen to us.
Let's face it. To expect that Bill would do anything other than trade down, pick up value, meaning mediocre picks and get picks for next year, is nothing more than a pipe dream. And by the reactions you guys have been getting from fans, it sounds like Patriot Nation had been inhaling during the entire pre-draft process. Thanks a lot, Andy. Just kidding. Seriously, though, Bill did exactly what I expected him to do.
Oh,
no
of course
more,
he did.
No more, no less. And since Patriot Nation likes pipe dreams so much, I have one of my own. Inhale this. Maybe this will be the year that teams simply won't throw the football. That will solve all our pass rush problems. Okay, keep up the good work. And Kevin.
Interesting first email there, no? Took a lot of
shots. I liked it. Come out swinging. Come out with who you are. If you're thinking it, write it.
Where's all the phone calls today? No phone calls.
I don't know.
Well, 508-298.
They made an edict. They didn't want them.
508-298-0398 is the got a lot of emails, but not a lot of
phone calls.
So go with what you
Fred,
got.
A lot of open lines for once,
Fred,
too.
Not much of a future in real hosting
take
radio.
What,
you
take
don't
what
ever
the defense
say,
gives
where are
you?
All the calls today?
Well, I mean, yeah,
the phone lines
well, I know people
good,
are listening.
It's not good to panic.
No, I know. It's not like people aren't listening because the emails are coming in, so I know people are out there.
That's like when Paul used to get upset that you used to say there's only one phone line. Because you know.
I never.
No, I did.
That was Andy's.
I have
he
audio
would
proof
only
of you yelling.
Give out the number when somebody was on the line. He would never give out the number when they was a free line.
One of our new little bumpers with the new phone number has Paul yelling at Fred.
It's a joke because Andy got so mad at him. We
plus,
all say
all Paul's
now.
Material comes from me first.
Wow.
I don't actually think it.
That's another what do you call it? A bump or open? I was going to say.
I.
So why do you think that has to come from you?
Because you're always saying, well, you aren't going to agree with Eric. He never brings
we
him
haven't
to
even,
the table.
We haven't
I know
even...
Gary used to get really mad at me when I'd say, and we're back. He said, you
but
can't
yet you
say
still
that.
Say it every single
when
time.
When you start a show off, like, all right.
Yeah. I think it's his shtick. It's
where's,
endearing.
Where's your jacket?
Well, why can't
monologue?
You say, and we're back when you are back from a break?
No. When you start the show, though.
Oh, you
it's
get
a
mad
day
at you.
Break.
I never said it to start.
You do it for everything.
After
and
the break.
We're back.
Yeah, you shouldn't say
did
that.
We, did
why
we
not? Back from a break?
Well, based on ESPN's rules, why? You're never supposed to tell, you don't want them to leave. You don't want them to think they left or whatever. You don't. Okay. You want them to
always
stay.
Oh, yeah, because people are stupid and they can't tell the difference between actual programming and a commercial.
That's
absurd.
Paul actually believes people are stupid.
Eric, just angry. Angry.
Well, he used to be in the radio biz.
You know what? It's like, it's a new radio persona. It's Angry Eric. It's been ever since, I'd say, around the time that we traded 28.
Oh, right.
It's been Angry Eric. I kind of like it.
I don't.
You're just a jerk. You really are just a jerk.
John writes in.
He doesn't dispute it either.
No, what do you want me to say? There's no defense. I mean,
John, it is what it is.
John writes in, I got to say that people need to quit crying about not getting a pass rusher.
Eric.
The draft is over. What? We didn't get fresh meat to rush the pass. We still have free agency, and we don't know what will happen. Myself, personally, I would love to see Markell Carter step in and out of nowhere, but be an absolute beast and end up with a 10.
Oh, yeah, so would I, but what are the odds?
Your draft coverage was awesome. I took 2 days off from work just so I could make sure to listen to you guys live, and I was loving every minute of it. Wow.
Was
thanks,
that serious?
John.
No, I just have a question.
What the hell's wrong with you?
If you don't care, that you know, if you're mad that we're complaining that we didn't get a pass rush, then why do you want to see Markell Carter get 10 sacks?
Because he's a Patriot.
Obviously doesn't think we need a pass rush, so
No, he didn't say that.
Well, he's tired of listening to everybody complain about it.
He is tired of people complaining about it.
Mostly Eric.
You were complaining pretty vehemently,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm done. I've moved on.
Scott in Tucson.
Doors closed.
SFI.
Scott in Tucson wants to know when the winners of the PFW mock draft will be announced.
Later.
Paul does that, right?
August.
Really? You're going to wait that long?
It won't be this week.
It's not high on my priority
list.
You
got a lot of things
to
do right now?
And you didn't win. Some guy claims he got 9 right, including the last 3 of the round. That guy won if he's right.
If that guy is telling the truth, then he won. But there are 9 other winners, Andy.
Okay. A lot of emails.
Top 10.
508-298-0398. Here's somebody on the line, John in South Carolina. Oh, Eric is too angry, he says. Hey, John.
Let him say it.
Good.
First, I wanted to say the draft thing, you guys did a great job. I loved it.
Are we on speakerphone?
Thank you.
Yeah, you are.
Who else is listening? I want to know. That's what Scott Pioli once said to me when I was doing an interview with him. Who's listening? Take it off speakerphone.
I'm sitting here alone waiting for my car to get repaired.
So why do you need to speak?
Wait, we're in public? Are you in the waiting room at a Jiffy Lube?
No, at a Mazda dealer.
Oh. What do you got, a Mazda 3, 6, 7?
3.
Oh, okay. You don't make a ton, huh?
He's not going to pick up the phone either.
It's not American
speaker.
It's not American made either.
I hear you. Good gas mileage, though. What do you get with that, 32, 33?
32.
Nice.
All right,
what did you want to talk Patriots about?
No, he wanted to say I'm too mad.
Well, he's right.
Eric, you're so mad. I mean,
he really
don't take
is.
It personally.
He takes everything personally.
Why shouldn't I take it personally? Why should? Give me a good reason why I shouldn't take it personally.
To do with you.
I'm asking. Personal. I'm asking John from South Carolina. Would you give the man a chance to talk, Paul? You talk enough all day.
Just,
keep it. Zip it. Zip it. Zip it. Zip it. Zip it. Zip it.
Eric.
I really like the new angry.
What did
Eric.
Rex Ryan say? They dropped before our eyes. He's got testicles now.
I like angry Eric.
Go ahead, John. Sorry for the interruption.
I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just saying you're going to have a heart attack in the next 10 years.
No, I'm not. I'm in great shape.
Even John laughed at that.
He is definitely not at top the list of PFW members that could have a heart attack.
No, not because he's out of shape, because his heart
you're
blow up one day.
Sure I am.
No, you're second. For Fred's first.
Fred's not even paying attention.
But I mean, don't you like that Eric now has passion? He went so long without passion. He now has passion. Let him express his passion.
But it just comes out without any control. It's just, wah!
You do kind of do that.
But and also, Eric,
it takes a lot to get me upset.
But for it to be personal.
I'm getting upset! Plus, you're in your little thingy. You're not supposed to get mad at anything anymore.
And really, Eric, for it to be personal against you, people
you
would have
to
acknowledge your
that's
existence.
Not true.
So,
you know, it's not just during Lent that you have to hold on to your Lenten promises?
The idea of giving something up for Lent is not just to give it up for 40 days. It's to give up something bad about yourself and your life for the rest of your life.
But yet when the 40 days were up, you went right to...
That's inaccurate.
Angry Eric.
That's inaccurate.
When did the 40 days end?
Easter.
Easter.
Well, I know that you're not a religious person, but you don't know anything about any religion at all,
nothing,
do you?
Nothing. Or Star Wars either, so don't... Lump me
in that
category.
If it's not about food, pooping, or working out, he has no interest.
What about boobs?
Breasts. Yeah. Or cars. I just knew the number of the car he had, the mileage it got. Thank you very much.
You did know a little bit too much about the Mazdas there.
I know a lot about a lot of things.
You know
why about Mazdas?
About a little thing.
Not Mazdas. I know a lot about a lot of cars. Oh. You know, you read Consumer Reports, you pick things up.
What's my car get for mileage?
What do you got, the four-cylinder or the six?
I don't know.
I'm going to need to know. That would affect it.
Six.
Oh, a little lower then. Probably 27, 28.
I think I get more than that, but I don't know for sure.
Depends how you drive, too. If you drive,
highway miles
around.
Versus city.
Oh, yeah. Highway miles, you get
city miles?
Better.
Highway, yeah.
Like my Mini Cooper I'm going to get. That's going to get 42.
You're going to get a Cooper?
I
want one. When the Honda's done, I might
have a Grande head and a Mini Cooper.
I was thinking you'll have to get one of those Pope things.
Right.
You
know, the
screw you guys.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
Warren in London informs me that Star Wars was yesterday.
Oh, you missed it.
So may the 4th be with you.
You didn't
see. Oh, that's good.
4th again?
That's a good way to remember it.
Today's Cinco de Mayo.
and
tomorrow. Which is why we have no design department. She's out drinking.
And as our friend Jody said, tomorrow's going to be the Cinco de Seis.
And Alan from Scotland. No. Alan from Scotland also says that it was the 4th. As much as I love Star Wars, I do agree this is rather silly and a little sad. Anyway, keep up the good work. You guys did a great job during the draft. And P.S. Andy, a kilt is not a skirt.
Right. Keep telling yourself that.
Is that what your mom told you? It's not a skirt. It's a kilt.
Have you seen when they get dressed up? Do like for formal events, and they have the kilt, but they have the sports coat on too.
Oh yeah, I had a guy like that at my wedding.
That's a good
you
look.
You did
a bagpiper.
Oh really?
That's a good look.
You being a facetious.
No, I've been thinking about
You've been thinking about trying
bringing that over here to the States.
It's all how you pull it off. If it's one of those guys that like throws the telephone poles while wearing a skirt, it's a kilt, not a skirt, sir. But if it's a little lightweight,
so did you guys
you had
end
one
up
on
doing
Eric,
the challenge with the big tire?
No.
When's
Fred
that,
said we would get in trouble. Remember, he goes,
happen?
There's those A-holes. Mobile One on the move.
Didn't say A.
Only he didn't say A.
Hamza in Sydney writes in.
Only Toronto.
Well, it's past 2 a.m. here in Sydney, but I decided to stay up and listen live for a change.
Hey!
Which reminds me, more coffee. Been loving the show lately since everyone is still reeling at the draft picks. I thought I'd resend you guys a draft dream story I sent last week but wasn't read on the air. This dream would even make Fred proud. A few days before the draft, I dreamt that I was having a really serious conversation with my dad, who in the dream was somehow also Bill Belichick. Anyway, my dad slash Bill finally breaks it to me that I, not he, will have to make all the Patriots picks this year. I protested that I wasn't ready. I hadn't done enough film study this year, hadn't listened to enough PFW or enough draft review podcasts where we preview the draft.
Well done.
But Bill slash my dad insisted. Then the dream flashed forward to draft day, where it got a little hazy. Every time it was my turn to pick, I kept scanning my brain for players' names, but all I kept hearing in my head was Andy's voice saying, take Quinn, Quinning. I tried to explain to Andy that it was already the second round and Quinn was already gone, but he wouldn't shut up. Anyway, I think we came away with Kerrigan, Wilkerson, and LeSure, and I also somehow selected Mendenhall to make Andy happy, even though he's already in the NFL. That's a weird dream, huh? One more thing. This one's for Andy. ESPN Boston asked Razai Dowling's cornerbacks coach of Virginia to describe Dowling's playing style, to which he replied, he's big and he likes to get at it hard.
Nice.
So, there you go. Interesting.
I know I shared it with you guys, but I don't think I ever said a couple of days before the draft that it seeped into me. I had a draft-related dream as well. And we were on a plane, the team PFW, and for some reason, Bill Belichick was mocking our mock draft. I don't know where we were going. I don't know why. It was the front row of the plane, and we were all across. It was like the huge plane we took to London with like five or six seats in the, you know, and we're all next
Virgin?
To each other. I don't remember, but
Stewardess is hot.
All I remember.
Have you seen their new commercials?
No.
Yes.
I'll tell you about that.
Yes.
Those are
all I remember is he was like Bill was, and it was kind of lighthearted, and he was kind of like just kind of like looking at us like, yeah, these guys. And he was making fun of our draft. And
did he call us a-holes?
No. All I can remember is him saying, Daquan Bowers. And I don't know why Daquan Bowers stuck in my head, because I never thought that was a possibility for the Patriots. But evidently he did not think that I think he did we did overrated he into, Saquon Bowers.
Did he turn into Ron Borges in that dream, too?
Well, he just, that kind of, you know, you know, that's what he does. Oh,
don't take it personal. I mean, he mocked the real draft a few days later by trading with Andy Reid.
Good. See, Rod, that's the one thing you haven't let go yet.
No,
anyway,
I never
Bill
will.
Belichick making fun of PFW in yet another one of my dreams.
Probably wasn't the first or last time. Ross in Glasgow says, with all the excitement of the draft, I didn't hear if any of you had watched the Bill Parcells ESPN special.
Missed it.
It was even shown on the UK specific ESPN, so I was able to record it, take a close look at his big board. Since many have been criticizing Bill Belichick for not addressing the pass rush, I thought many of Bill Parcells' grades were interesting. The first rounders were, of course, first rounders, but the only second rounders he had were Bailey, Acho, Mock, and Houston. He only had shared as
That's
a third rounder, and Brooks Reed was a fourth rounder. Overall, the grades do seem to validate Belichick's decision to pass on these players. Say what you want about Parcells, he is, in general, a good evaluator of talent, and I would bet that his draft board is closer to Belichick's than any of the so-called media draft gurus. Yes, that includes you, Mr. Draft.
Screw you.
Does Parcells' grades make you feel any better about our draft?
No.
No, not at all.
I agree that Parcells is a terrific talent evaluator. I've always thought that. But he thought there were four of those guys that were second round. We had three second round picks, including the first one.
Right, but then you have to say, would they, you know, we're not rating
him. We picked at the top, we picked in the middle, and we picked a little bit closer to the bottom.
Whatever you think of those pass rushers, were they better than Rozai Dowling? You know, that's...
Well, what about?
Well, obviously, Bill Parcells thought so, or he wouldn't have had them ranked to be second-round prospects.
Yeah, but he might have also had Dowling in there. I don't know.
So if it's even, you go with the need. That's
plus, you had three picks.
No, I guess I'm not explaining myself correctly.
No, you're explaining yourself perfectly. I get what you're saying.
You know?
I get what you're saying, but clearly there wasn't a gap between he had them ranked as second-round pro. I mean, unless he had Rozai Dowling as a can't-miss first-round prospect on his board, which that's a possibility. But I don't think so. And that's not the only guy they picked. They had two other picks in the second round, one of which they traded.
Are all second rounders the same?
No.
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 Brett from Leominster. So I went grocery shopping from my wife using the Bill Belichick method. My wife gave me a shopping list, and I just laughed. She said, we really need toilet paper, so I didn't get any. She asked me to get a turkey for dinner. While the store had turkeys, I got ham instead. I figure I'll look for turkey the next time I go shopping, sort of trade down, but probably will buy ham again instead.
Did you exchange one coupon for two?
Also, you know how tampon ads compare absorption between their product and an inferior brand?
I was really digging this.
She wanted the best absorption one, but I got the leaky kind because it was a better value. I'm hoping she stops sending me shopping. Question. Is there any chance the Pats picked Mallett because some other team wanted him and they worked out a trade for a specific player that they can execute once the collective bargaining agreement is made? I expect you to say no.
No.
And I don't believe it's what happened, but just curious what your thoughts are.
I think they had a highly rated player that was good value in the third round.
Allegedly, the Dolphins were interested in him and made that fact clear to him and his family and then didn't pull the trigger in time. But I doubt that New England would trade with the Dolphins for that pick.
I think it's virtually impossible that that's the case, that they have a trade worked out with somebody.
Yeah. Darius writes in, I was watching the video of Ridley, and I think he'll be a surprise. He looks like he runs as hard as the law firm, but has more speed and a little more elusive. He drew quite a few defenders and had the speed to get outside and to outrun defenders on the edge. I also look forward to watching Vereen. I think he is a step up on Falk and Woodley. He's like a receiver out of the backfield. The video shows me shows him catching several downfield passes like a receiver, so he can create a matchup problem. Previous caller also mentioned Ridley and said some of the things I noticed as well. Shifty, strong, can play fullback and tailback. Well, we'll see. I mean,
it's better than Lamar Woodley coming out of the backfield.
To say that a guy is better than Falk at this point coming out of college. Yeah. I mean, Falk was a veteran.
Falk gets
smart.
No. He was a great, caught the ball well, very smart, reliable, all that. But he doesn't look that athletic when he's doing it. He has those like short, choppy. He's not moving that fast.
Almost looks like he's stumbling.
Right.
Forward.
I think Vereen people are going to look. It's going to look better.
I'm with Fred here. That's what you. That's what Falk is for the last 5-6 years.
Mm, right.
Falk coming out of LSU.
Right.
This guy was not on the level of Kevin right. Falk coming right. out of LSU.
Right.
Now, you're right. There's a lot, you know, you go all the way back to that 2002 kickoff return that, you know, you could have used a sundial at the time.
Right.
It was the slowest kickoff return for a touchdown I've ever seen. But, you know, he broke his leg as a rookie. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all the wear and tear has sort of put a picture in our head about what Kevin Falk is. When Kevin Falk was at LSU, he was as a dynamic player
oh,
as
yeah.
that country had at the
yeah.
time.
And when he came to the Patriots and
the
he
only
started...
knock was his size. And if he came out now, like with that production, it wouldn't be a knock anymore. It was a knock in 1999.
You're right.
Now you can get away with that. There's
right.
a lot of guys. You know, he's no smaller than Chris Johnson, is he?
Chris Johnson's
how much smaller?
Probably 5'10".
How much smaller is he than Chris? He's probably heavier than Chris Johnson.
Oh yeah, probably.
But Johnson was much faster.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, he was that kind of an athlete that did so many different things and was quick and fast.
And no, I know how good he was. I don't think athletically he's in
no,
that,
he's not Chris Johnson
that,
fast. No,
that freak fast.
He wasn't a 4.2 whatever right. 40 fast. No.
And let's not forget when Falk first came here, he wasn't the reliable go-to in the clutch guy. He had a tendency to fumble
had
quite a
bit. Big fumbling problem.
Yeah, and it took a while for him to get over that.
Phil writes in from Austin. Here's the underlying logic that could explain
Different
the Patriots
Phil.
Draft. Robert Kraft probably has better insight on the labor situation than anyone. Maybe the Patriots are assuming that there will be no more than 2 or 3 weeks of training camp before the season starts. Take a day or so with no pads at the start of camp and the final week of camp for game preparation. That leaves hardly any time to evaluate or teach rookies. Within that context, it makes sense that several of the draft picks are in plug-and-play positions, such as cornerback and running back. Other picks were moved into 2012. Solder starts or is the swing tackle from day one. Mallett fits the roster as the third quarterback. Cannon is NFI or PUP, and Lee Smith and Malcolm Williams are practice squad. This year, there would probably be little or no opportunity for most college defensive end linebacker types to earn playing time. The Pats are acting like there won't be enough time for one of those types to come in and learn enough about the system to upgrade the position.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, and plus, I think I remembered them saying that no matter when the season starts, they've all guaranteed each other that there'll be a 3-week window for preparation.
Yeah, but that's still not a lot.
That's not a whole lot, but
I can buy the theory that you're probably not going to have as many contributions out of rookies this year as you normally would, if indeed the lockout stretches into August. But I don't think that should affect your draft strategy
at all. Nope.
And if that is the case, that would sort of run counter to what Bill has always preached about long-term, short-term, mm-hmm. best interest of the team. I think you pick the best players, not the best players, you know, based on a peculiar set of circumstances that are going to be facing the league, you know, in 0-10, as Andy would say.
Incorrectly.
Robin in Alaska says, you really need to update the blog more often. I know NFL news is sparse, but I have some ideas to help spur your journalistic juices. Eric can write an article about fashion trends in the NFL. Could an NFL team get away with wearing mauve? Andy could do a top 10 Brooklyn Decker photos as found on Google.
And this just should, so you know, our blog hits would quadruple
and we'll
immediately.
We'll make it a slideshow.
Can this I do
should,
that, Fred?
This should be easy. Pretty sure Andy has them bookmarked anyway. Paul should create an NFL...
That's sticky content.
Oh! Gets all excited with
Paul
himself.
Should create an NFL lockout drinking game. Hey, any reason is a good reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fred, your task is more complex. You have to write an in-depth review of the Patriots' 2011 draft using only Star Wars characters as comparisons. Let me help you get started. In the first 3 rounds, Belichick drafted a Wookiee, R2-D2, 2 clone troopers, and Jar Jar Binks. Belichick then finally started looking for Luke Skywalker in the 5th round and beyond.
Fred didn't care for it. I don't know any of the references. So
they drafted a bunch of Wookiees.
Jar Jar Binks talks funny, right?
You've never seen Star Wars?
Nothing there?
No, I have, but I don't know.
I don't remember anything.
Is Jar Jar Binks like the...
He was the wacky Jar Jar, you know.
In the new one.
I didn't like that character.
Yeah, nobody. I kind of liked him.
Nobody liked him.
I liked how he...
All right.
How did he talk? He talks funny.
I forget, but
weird jargon.
That was, you know, Spielberg, or I mean, George Lucas reaching to try to get the younger audience.
Like me.
I didn't like
didn't
that.
Didn't work.
Like me.
Didn't work.
You should have just said immature.
I'm with you, Andy. I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
Well, I've seen them, but not like... I can't tell you all the characters.
Well, Rodney is from Northeastern, Paul.
Nice.
In the marketing entrepreneurship class of 2012, and he says, no way the tackles average 33 reps. Only four people bench pressed 33 times or higher, and the highest number of reps was 34.
So maybe I was right. Maybe it was 28.
Okay.
I can't remember off the top of my head. We'll check on it later.
Is there a hair joke there or something?
You going to try to get him angry now? What are you doing? Why are
just
you looking
say,
at him?
Pass rusher. And then he lies to God again.
Joe in Burlington.
There's a difference between passion and anger.
Joey.
Oh, you're angry.
Passionate.
Joe in Burlington says, please don't let PFW in Progress fall down to the level of every other idiot sports talk radio show. I know it's exciting to play with new technology, but I believe the majority of listeners want to hear the four of you guys arguing, not some dumbass caller.
I agree.
Let's go to the phones. Fred, I've noticed you have started to limit how long the callers have to make his or her point. Great.
Good.
This is an email-driven show. I recommend limiting the amount of time per caller and the number of callers per show. Of course, there will always be an exemption for Mr. Pettigrew.
That would be cool if we had a sound effect, like one of those like beep, beep, and it speeds up, and you know you're running out of
running
room.
Out of time. Right.
Right. Yeah. Sort of like 24.
Yeah. And then it explodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we get something like that?
Well, speaking of the phones, 508-298-0398, let's get Ken in Kansas. Now, Ken, you're not a dumbass
on the
caller,
Ace Ticket Hotline.
No, I'm not a dumbass caller.
Okay, good.
Let's not be premature.
And I am going to try to make Eric feel better.
Oh.
You're
offering up a woman?
No, Andy, and you are the guy who makes me feel ashamed to be a former Tufts grad.
Oh, hey, come on.
Good. You are right, my
good
friend.
Ken.
This is not a dumbass caller. He is absolutely right.
Andy makes the jumbos look like the dumbos.
Yeah. Well, listen, I follow Rich Goslin pretty well, and I thought he did an amazing job of picking some things that I couldn't believe would happen, and they did happen.
I.e. the quarterback run in the first round?
Yeah, the quarterback run. He had Solder right about where he went and as the second tackle pick. He had a bunch of guys that you didn't think were going to be there that were there. But the point is this, and Paul made the point originally. He said, the object of the draft is to make your team better and get the best players you possibly could. And I saw this on the internet, a breakdown on the internet, and I thought it was quite enlightening, and it came as a kind of a surprise to me because I was not a big fan of the draft initially. Of Goslin's top seven, the Pats had five picks in the top 75. They got five players who were in that top 75 and got Goslin's top 100 list. I mean, they got five of the best players in this guy's draft.
Let me just say one thing, but they had five picks in the top 75. They had five picks. They should come up with five of the top 100 players. You had five picks in the top 75.
Doesn't always work that way.
Oh no, and we don't know if it will work that way when they get them. But to applaud a team for getting five top 75 players when they pick five times in the top 75,
and came away with two picks in the next year.
But I mean,
but
I'm talking about the players they got.
Yeah, but if all the players suck, it's irrelevant.
Right.
Yeah.
If they don't use the picks, it's irrelevant.
Well, but he's saying at least from Goslin's board. They were,
but I mean,
no one knows how they're going to do.
But how many teams wouldn't have gotten if they had that
the Raiders,
many picks?
Oakland, yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you, if the Raiders picked the same five guys, they wouldn't have been in anybody's top 100. I'll guarantee you that.
Well, that's and the other thing you need to understand, Ken, just on the Goslin thing is he's a guy that has great NFL contacts, and when he puts those lists out late, right before the draft, the mock and the top list.
His last mock was.
He gets it from the teams.
Yeah,
but you know he gets it from the teams. The teams essentially tell them who they're taking, who they like. He has sources.
Why him, Andy, and no one else?
Because he's respected as much as anyone in the game.
Yeah, he does it. He's a very hardworking guy. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's earned a lot of people's respect. He is one of the best, if not the best, out there, no question.
And it's not really his mock draft. It's the mock draft of the 32 guys he talks to at every team. He has good contacts.
Well, the point being is the Pats came away in this draft, as believe me, no one was. I turned it off when the Malik pick came up. I couldn't go on after that. Two running backs and
neither
and
could the, Fred.
it was unbelievable. But now I'm starting to see this the flexibility of the Malik pick because a lot of things can happen. There's a possibility, and I think it's a better than minuscule possibility. It's a slight possibility that 2 years down the road, when there's a franchise in Los Angeles, Brady wants to go there. We get a boatload of picks, and Mallett is ready. That's one possibility. There's a possibility that someone could trade him. You know, as soon as the CBA is signed, eventually someone comes up and says, "I need him. Here's a second round pick for next year."
Yeah.
Then there's the possibility of injury, et cetera. But I mean, it became more of an applicable thing than just an off the wall. I have to take him because he's too good.
Yeah, I agree.
I got you, Ken. Thanks for the call.
No, and that's a very viable thing. I mean, that's not like this pie in the sky one in a million shot. That could very well happen. Hmm. 2 years from now, you could get two more productive years out of Brady. And then, you know, Bill might just say, "I know he's still a very good quarterback, but the time is right. I got a guy who I think can play. He's ready. He's waited for 2 years. I've seen him do it in practice."
And we get a boatload of picks.
That's not a completely
off
the wall.
And imagine what he can turn a boatload of picks into.
You know,
two boatloads of picks.
I mean, this whole thing has played out throughout sports history. I mean, you just look at the Celtics. A lot of people think that, you know, they held on to the big three too long, and they should have traded Larry Bird or Kevin McHale or Robert Parrish and started making that team younger, and they never did, and look what happened. And, you know, look, we all love Tom Brady, but I would not rule that out.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out.
I would not rule that out.
I just hope they don't put a franchise in L.A.
Just so you know, Ken, Tufts was a far more selective school when I went there than when you went there.
So what happened?
He sounds older than you.
I made it.
508-298.
I made the cut.
0398. Jason's in a car, and he's in the military, originally from Danvers. Hey, Jason.
Thank you for your service.
How's it going?
Good. What branch of the military are you in?
I'm in the Air Force.
All right.
So why in a car, not a plane?
That's funny. I'm actually just graduated a school. I'm the very first brand new cyber warfare officer.
Nice. Oh. So you're going to be flying those drones remotely?
No, I fly computers. Oh. I'm a hacker.
Avoiding cyber attacks?
You're a hacker. Oh, that's not good for this show.
No, but it's good for the country. We need good hackers.
Well, you know, I think that Die Hard 4 movie kind of scared the government into making us.
Really? Good.
The Obama administration's making decisions based on movies.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, you seem to be an informed opinion. Or not.
It's an opinion, but I throw it out
it's
there.
An opinion,
I'm glad they've done it because, you know, I joined in 97 out of Danvers, and I never thought, you know, 14 years later I'd be a hacker for the government, which is just, it's like a dream job. It's kind of like, I don't know, I get to go to work and have fun.
So wait, are you hacking into other government websites, or are you trying to prevent hackers from attacking the U.S. websites?
Yeah.
I can't go into details. Okay.
Well, all right. Let's get the big accomplishment you guys had recently was you went into Iran, and we did something with the Iran computers for a while that set back their
nuclear program
a few years. You have any insight into that? You know,
you're talking about Stuxnet.
Yeah.
Basically. That was a very precise cyber weapon. That was pretty much the first cyber weapon that has been released to the public, and that was a very precise virus that put them like 20 years behind on their nuclear program.
Nice. Well done.
So cyber warfare is here.
So that's the general realm that you're involved in now, without getting too specific.
But the government does both attack and defense, you know.
Right.
Of course.
Well done. So what do you got with the Patriots? What do you get called to talk about?
Well, I haven't been able to listen, obviously, because I've been driving, and I just wanted to say something about the draft. You know, I was watching it. I was a little confused with all the offense at first, but and I haven't read it anywhere, but from what I could tell and what I remember last year, you know, a lot of people are talking, well, let's see how the other guys develop. But, you know, we had the second youngest secondary and probably one of the youngest defenses out there. So maybe he didn't want to go too heavy on the defense with picks because he just didn't want to have the youngest. You got to have some experience. He loves experience in the, especially in the linebacker side. And he's got a bunch of young guys. He's all developing. And I was very impressed with the way the defense came together from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. They've definitely developed. But I think, you know, he's looking at it as, I can't have too many young guys on the defense. I got to have some veterans up there.
But the trade-off there, though, is if your experience isn't talented, what good is it? I'd rather have talent than experience.
Because at this point, Ninkovich and Banta Kane are two.
They're very talented. I mean, they're very experienced
players with
Thanks
some
for the
experience.
Call, Jason.
But
yeah, that was good.
They're
that
not that good.
Yeah. I do think there might be an element of truth to that notion, though, about they have a lot of young guys and adding another young guy or two. I mean, I understand. Listen, if you have the opportunity to add a blue chipper, and this is where when we talked on Thursday, the night of the first round, and there was Ryan Kerrigan and Robert Quinn within two or three picks of the Patriots, that we were thinking maybe it's time to slide up a little bit. Yeah, if you have an opportunity to get someone like that, I could see you doing that. But if you have, like Fred's been maintaining, you know, you have an opportunity to get a guy who's, you know, maybe of equal or similar value, and you're not really sure. Maybe it wasn't such a bad idea to, you know, go on, you know, add an offensive player. You have a little bit more experience. Some of those guys are going to be washing out. You know, Solder for Light, as an example. You know, they needed to make, whether it's this year or next, they needed to make a move there. It's not one of those situations where I think they completely dropped the ball and there was no basis for it. There was no rational thought behind it. I mean, clearly you could understand what they were thinking and what they were doing. I didn't agree with all the picks, but I mean, I do think they were based with some logic behind it.
Ken Walter writes in, I want to add my thanks to you all for the great draft coverage over the weekend. Seriously, I don't think I would follow the draft nearly as closely or maybe at all if I didn't have you guys to listen to.
Me too.
However, I think you're missing out on one of the biggest stories of the draft. Bill is clearly counting on free agency to bring the special teams unit back to championship form and is obviously targeting experienced players for roster spots. I had a feeling this might happen after Patrick Chung's fake punt debacle in the playoffs. If anyone is going to be screwing up punts, it should be someone with a lot of playoff experience. Obviously, Coach B can't comment
with a lot of experience
because of tampering concerns, but I think we all know who he has in mind. Don't worry, Coach B. Message received. Mayo, tell me where you guys are working out. And this time, don't send me to an empty parking lot. Also, I was doing a little research this week and came across an interesting Patriots stat. Super Bowls won with Ken Walter, 2. Super Bowls won without Ken Walter, 1. Now, I'm not nearly as smart as the guy who wrote Rashard Mendenhall's follow-up clarification tweet. And I'm not great at math, but I think that proves that the Patriots are 50 to 100% more likely to win a Super Bowl with Kenny 2 rings. Signed, Ken Walter, who doesn't understand why he was compared to Snooki a few weeks ago, although, like her, he was once described as surprisingly athletic.
I love Walter!
Kenny 2 rings.
That sounds like our friend who used to work here.
Yeah, Joey Four Rings.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sam in Chicago, is there some metric with defensive stats that Bill is going off to explain last week's lack of defensive pass rush debacle? Does Bill see more value towards his defense in an Asante Samuel, Ty Law, or Lawyer Malloy type of player than a Seymour or Willie G? Who's Willie G? Does he mean McGinnis?
Probably,
yeah.
Galt. Does he turn over?
It's like that producer that goes by McG.
McG, yeah. The guy who blows everything up.
Does a turnover or return top Bill's list rather than a sack? Sure, both would be nice. I'm just trying to make some sense here.
Well, we know he doesn't value the sack as the most important stat in football. He thinks pretty lowly of it. He's more involved with pressure.
Times.
And he thinks of pass defense, obviously, as the coverage and the pressure working in concert. But I also think, to some degree, he has this belief that it's very difficult to find young outside linebackers that play. That it seems like, based on his track record, and we talked about this yesterday, Paul, that he likes veteran guys. He thinks, you know, he can get a better read for them once they've been in the league a few years, whether that's Colvin or Thomas as high-end guys or guys like Vrabel and Ninkovich that he thinks, oh, well, this guy's done this here and this here. Maybe I can get him to do a little more here. I mean, the one thing he's never done is invested that first or second round pick in the outside linebacker.
And it doesn't make much sense to me that he values the pressure.
Well, yeah, but I'm not.
He values the pressure more than the sack.
You just don't
isn't the sack the best end result of pressure?
Theoretically, no. The best end result of pressure is an interception because you get the ball. On a sack, you don't get the ball.
Or fumble.
Sack
or
and fumble.
Yes, Fred. Yeah. Any turnover that comes is better.
But that can
than...
come directly from a sack.
Right.
Yeah. Strip sack, they call it in the NFL.
Yes, I know. Thank you.
Callum from Glasgow. Can't listen live, unfortunately. Got a question. Do you think the decision for Belichick not to take a guard prospect until the 5th is good news on the Mankins front, meaning he could likely resign and get paid? You see anything in this, or is it just all about damn value, value, value?
No, I think that I wouldn't read too much into that. I think it's value with Cannon. I think they have a guy like Dan Conley that they think can play. I think they have a guy like Rich Ohrenberger, Ryan Wendell. They have some of these guys that have been in the system long enough now that are in that Russ Hochstein, Billy Yates mold. They've been in the Dante program, and I think you can always get a guard, that whole thing. Well, they have some that they've even spent some time developing.
Yeah, and I think that chances are that Mankins will play this year. We talked about the possibility of him holding out like he did last year. Well, he cost himself a lot of money. Last year he cost himself nothing. This year it's $10 million, so if you want to sit out and lose a little more than half of that, go right ahead.
Right.
I don't think he'll do that. Even though we laud him for being a principled guy, but that's a lot of money.
The only reason I think that he might do that is because of what he said a couple of weeks ago in Boston when he was talking about he could have been talking about just the whole lockout itself, but he said he enjoyed the time off last year when he was holding out and being with his family, and he said, it looks like I'm going to get a little more time this summer. When he said that on the day the lockout was lifted, which made me wonder whether he was talking about the lockout itself and the whole labor thing.
Training camp.
Yeah,
I took that as.
That's what I look at it as.
Don't expect to see me.
And I don't think he'll be here for training camp again.
I think the earliest would be that.
But he'll be
September
there for week
4th
one.
Or something.
He'll
show
be,
up.
He'll be there for the just like Asante Samuel that year. He'll be there for week 1. Mm-hmm. And plus he's a guard, so he could step in and play probably seamlessly.
I also don't.
And he already did it.
He did it last year.
I mean, you didn't want him to, but I did.
I also don't rule out.
I didn't want him to play.
I'm the one.
No, didn't we have a long? Remember,
no, we
and you
were
did
wondering
a podcast.
Whether or not Bill would
what
put
ready
him in
means
it.
And ready is ready and.
Yeah, we had.
We can cue that up if you want. It was one of our worst podcasts ever.
We had a Paul and Andy argument about it, but I don't think we were on opposite. It was one of those normal ones where we were actually on the same side.
I was right in the end.
He said that he shouldn't get his job back. Don't you remember when we beat
him? I said not right away.
You said
not
you would.
He had to earn his job back.
You wouldn't play him against the Browns.
No, I said.
Until he's ready. I said, what if he's ready? And you said, what does ready mean?
No, I said I would play him when he's ready.
Right. And what does ready mean? And I said he'll play against the Browns. And you said, no, he's not ready. And play when he's ready.
All that said, I don't rule out the possibility that he re-signs for a longer than 1 year here.
Callum,
sure.
Callum writes also, what do you make of the new Thursday night football commentators? I think Mayock did an awesome job in the Saints-Hawks playoff game. Don't know much about Brad Nessler.
Who are they?
Just glad that Mr. States the obvious Millen and that idiot Theismann are done.
So who is it?
It's Brad Nessler and Mike Mayock.
Yeah, that's a
oh, I like
a
half of that. I like Nessler. He's a good play-by-play guy.
My sources told me that it was going to be Gus Johnson and Mike
slinging
Mayock.
Bullets.
Yeah,
okay. Gus would have been great.
It's definitely Nessler and Mayock.
I like Brad Nessler better.
Yeah,
than
Nessler's
Gus Johnson.
Fine. Mayock's a punk.
I like virtually like anyone him. Better than Gus Johnson.
Whoa!
Oh, come on.
Mayock's pretty good. Mayock is a good.
I
don't
say anything about
like
Mayock.
His ego.
Yeah, he didn't. Say
I did.
About
no, Eric said we don't
Gus
like
Johnson.
It.
Why don't you like Mayock?
Well, all you have to do is spend 2 minutes listening to him talk, and you wouldn't like him.
Why?
Quite the ego.
He's a jerk. Very arrogant.
Yeah.
When you're in those draft expert roles, you can't come off half.
Mel Kiper's not a jerk
like me.
What?
He's not.
He was defined as one. That's how he made his,
Oh, he's one of the nicest men there is.
No, I know that, but he was defined as like this arrogant, I know more than you type of guy.
Incorrectly. Incorrectly.
But that's the.
So is that why you guys say that about me?
When you're a draft,
you call yourself Mr. Draft. That's why
you have to
you.
When you're in this position,
Paul. When you play the role of draft expert, you have to come off that way. You have
Thank
to come
you.
Off as knowing more than everyone else or else.
Call me Mr. Draft.
Because at the end of the day, everyone's opinion is about the same. you know, when it comes to the draft. It's so, you know.
Yeah, I see. I disagree. I'm going to side with Angry Eric here. I think there's a difference between Mel Kiper coming across and explaining what he likes about a prospect than Mike Mayock saying, I like this and I like that and I think they should do this and I want them to do that. Everything is me.
But that's
me,
what
me,
Kiper
me,
did.
That's not how he does it.
No, he doesn't.
That's not how he does it.
I don't think it comes across the same way. I don't think he says it
he
the
says
same
Fred
way.
Fred Kirsch has the right size and strength and he ran this. He talks about the player, not about him.
When he first started, he used to say, this team reached, this team made a mistake, yeah, this team.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's not the same thing
that's
as saying,
thing.
I. Oh. There's evaluations and then there's me. Put me in front.
Mayock is also big on, and I stood on an island 2 years ago when I told you that so-and-so was this and so.
But that's what Kiper's biggest have to do. They have
Kiper's biggest draft thing was that year way back when in the 80s when he said that's why they're the Bengals.
Right.
That's not saying I told him I knew this and I knew that. No, and Andy's exactly right. He'll say after the fact what I said about a guy 2 years ago. It's always positive.
And not joking.
He won't say, like me, I said the Patriots shouldn't draft Richard Seymour. I was wrong. He'll never say that.
Yeah.
I think that.
And either way, it's never a joke. It's serious. I was right two years ago.
I think any of these draft guys, they have to have a persona and they have to come across as, I know more.
Well, then how come none of us in the room feels that way about Kiper or McShay?
I do. I think they're all like that.
No.
They're not all the same.
Todd McShay
personality, but they all have to come off as authoritative. They have to come off.
There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
I think the terminology is all different with most of the guys.
You can come off as being informed without being an a-hole.
I mean, you don't have to. Have to pretend when you're on NFL Network that they didn't just whisper the pick in your ear before it comes out and say,
well, "That's Chris
Berman. I think they got to do this.
Could it be shoulder?
Right.
See, I think Mayock invented that. I mean, Chris Berman at least is a clown. He plays a clown. Everybody knows what he's doing. Mayock is trying to convince you that he knows what everybody's going to do. That's the way I look at it. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a good color guy.
He's actually good.
Because much like my thoughts with Matt Millings, I don't think whether or not he's a good color guy is independent of all that other stuff.
He did some bowl games, and he was pretty good.
I didn't see a lot of that playoff game that they're, you know, that Saints.
I don't think I saw any of that.
That Saints-Seahawks game.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, I saw
what
that.
What little I did see, I actually liked because he talked. Some of it I thought was a little technical. You know, he's talking about, like, the routes, and he's like, you know, the coverages and the routes, but I like that because, you know, like Fred says, I just like football. He's way better than the other guys.
He's way better.
I think he's a pretty.
As long as his ego doesn't get in the way.
What little I've seen, I think he'll be good at
he's
that.
He's got quite an ego, Fred. I don't know how you haven't noticed it.
He has an enormous ego.
But I think you have probably to. And that's to my the, point. I think Kiper does prep. Too. I think Kiper has a big ego.
And at the combine.
And I think you have to in that role.
I think Kiper does have a huge ego, but you don't really know it.
Yeah.
Not like Mayock.
All right.
He's not constantly telling you what he did right.
Well, it's right. It's I, me, and my. Every sentence has an I, a me, or a my.
Mayock's last name is missing a C in it, in the middle.
Oh, come on now.
Angry come Eric on just now. Continues wow. to bring it.
Callum winds up.
Especially for this month.
You actually made
a May.
Callum winds up his email by saying, anyway, thanks, guys. Love the draft shows and Lindsay's mockery of Andy and his big board. And she did mock you.
My big board's not the only big thing she saw.
See, now, why do you have to go there?
Stupid head.
Why do you have to go there?
I don't know. Why not?
He's talking about his oversized noggin.
My head. Not the one on top of my shoulders.
Oh, jeez. It's like a mushroom.
Exactly. It is like a mushroom.
What is wrong?
They refer to it as the mushroom.
Egg in a nest.
Tip.
Gene in Daytona.
What's he talking? He goes, it's... He always extends it.
Gene in Daytona. Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, and Kevin. I noticed that Las Vegas was not affected by the Patriots not drafting a first-round pass rusher. Every Vegas line I've looked at have the Patriots as the top favorite to win the Super Bowl in 2012 or tied with Green Bay.
Yep, 7-1 odds.
Who do you believe are the favorites in 2012? I think Eric making his opinions known is great. Keep up the good work, Eric. I heard Brian Lowe the other day snap at Kevin on the Patriots draft show.
Really?
Only trying to help and did not care for it.
Really? What happened there, Kevin?
He snapped at you?
I don't remember that.
Oh, God.
Really?
Were you not paying attention when he
snapped
at you?
Maybe that's why he snapped at him.
No, because, like, it's just him, so I try to, you know.
Engage?
You know,
yeah.
And he snapped at you?
He probably did, yeah.
He probably did.
I don't. It doesn't really stand out considering all the abuse I take on this show.
Oh, world's smallest violin playing in the background.
Wow. All the abuse.
Wow.
He's been asleep for the last 30 minutes. Right. We haven't said a word.
I haven't been asleep.
You had to jump up and change the TV for ESPN. Is there a Red Sox game on right now?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Turned on the... Wow, after playing till 3 in the morning last night?
That's lousy. Can you,
I can
what channel is it on?
I'll try it. I'll fiddle with it. You do the
looks
show.
Looks like Nesson. Right.
I don't know if we get that in here, Andy.
They get it in there. Well, the competition gets it.
I just turned on the show and do not know if you guys read the article on Mallett and the game shirt he gave to a kid in a wheelchair after the game.
Yes, we've read it 1,000 times.
I wonder if Bill knows more than we do about judging people. Mallett, we will not be sorry about.
No, I'm not angry at the email. I'm just because we keep seeing it all the time from you-know-who who's down there in Texarkana wasting everyone's time.
I love those. Oh, you don't have to change that one. you can leave it now. Yeah.
He is quite a diva. I mean,
you had to have the same thing on both TVs?
I can't see the Red Sox.
Oh, here we go.
You want to sound this one? No. Look who the diva is now.
I don't care. It's fine. Jesus. What time is it? This is the worst show we've done in quite some time.
No, leave
no
it alone.
It's fine.
Scott writes into the gentleman of PFW, the Antichrist. Calls you.
A-N-D-Y. See what he did there?
How does picking Cunningham instead of Dunlop look now?
What's that now? Well,
how does picking...
After 1 year, it looks a little shaky, but I would be willing to give them some time there to have that play out.
Two, I thought that Seabass had done a great job at left tackle when he had a half a dozen starts 2 years ago. So why did we need another left tackle beside flexibility? Were my eyes lying, or was there now tape on him that left him vulnerable? I thought he looked better at left than right.
Well, you needed a tackle, and I think they evaluated that Nate Solder was the best tackle, and he just happens to be primarily a left tackle.
But also, don't you think that evaluation means that they think down the road Solder will be better at left tackle than Vollmer could have been?
Not necessarily.
No.
I think because Vollmer has that unique ability to play both right and left tackle, they probably figured Vollmer at his best at right tackle is probably better than most other tackles at their best at right tackle. So we might as well get a guy who can play left tackle at a decent level and still work out.
Yeah, I don't know about
on
that.
The right.
Left tackle is left tackle. If whoever's best plays that position.
Quarterback is quarterback.
Freddie breaking it down.
So if Vollmer is better at left tackle than Solder, you don't draft a guy who can only play left tackle.
That is the flaw. If Solder is not a great left tackle and guys are beating him and you know they wouldn't be beating Vollmer in the same situation, you're effed.
Right.
Because you can't put Solder at right.
Right.
Theoretically.
But they obviously think he can be a premier left tackle. They wouldn't have taken him at 17.
That's my point.
But I don't think that's it. I don't think that's.
And left tackle is left tackle.
Right.
No.
Right, is right tackle. Right.
I don't think that's necessarily a slight against Vollmer and his abilities, is all my point is.
Okay. I love the Cannon pick, so by my count, we have a first rounder with Solder, a second rounder that would have been a first rounder except for his injuries last year, a first round talent in Mallett, if we can remove his nitwitness from him, and Cannon Cannon, who just needs treatments and a clean bill of health before he could be considered a borderline first round talent. So
no more ridiculous that he's a great guy because he signed a shirt than it is that he's a bad guy because he had his hood up.
Oh, I didn't say he's a bad
and
guy.
And skulked around.
I don't even know him. I didn't say he was a bad guy.
I think this, you're going to see that, I don't know if he'll be a great NFL quarterback. I think you're going to see that the character issues were overblown and snowballed in and of themselves over the internet and all that.
Listen,
crap.
I haven't even met Mal. I met him for 30 seconds on Saturday. I don't know Mallett at all. I don't know him to be a bad guy. I know Lee Smith, who was a fifth round draft pick, he spent some time in jail with a DUI just before his freshman year at Tennessee and was dismissed from the team. Certainly would look like a bad person, but based on everything I just heard about him, seems like the perfect Patriot. I mean, just an unbelievable leader, command presence of the room.
Captain at Marshall,
two-time
right?
Captain, yep. The coach, his tight ends coach, said that he was probably the most respected guy on the team even as a sophomore. So I'm not calling these guys bad guys based on mistakes they made when they were 20. You know, you gotta get to know who they are before
Boy,
you.
If that's where we're basing people, I would be the Antichrist.
So we would all have, you know, things that people would say. Oh, there's character questions about him. Back in my day, chewing and screwing.
Scott also says
that is actually a character concern for me at this point.
Absolutely. Well,
I still think you.
I really don't care because I don't.
The same guy.
I don't have to appear before you and get your.
Yeah, I don't think I was.
Paul's not getting drafted either.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying.
I'm not draft eligible.
No. Scott says, unless it's draft beer. Oh, no, you
no,
like it
no,
in a bottle.
No,
he likes it.
I like
and the
it.
Can occasionally.
I don't like the draft
beer. I figure we are solid at the quarterback position, tight end, running back, cornerback, inside linebacker, safety, and the kicking game. Relatively set at wide receiver, O-line, and D-line. Weak at outside linebacker. Am I off in my assessment?
At safety. I don't think they're set until they get rid of Merriweather.
I think they're set at safety.
So subtraction.
Offensive line, I think, is
questionable.
We have to see how they play.
Let's see how Nate Solder is.
Yeah. And who's playing? I mean, if Mankins doesn't
and
play.
I know you guys think we're set at wide receiver.
I never said that.
I just like Taylor Price.
I still think they need to tweak that.
Fred, our pre-draft analysis was their top needs were outside linebacker, pass rusher, slash offensive line, and wide receiver was right there.
Then
in
we
the
had
third
running
spot.
Back and wide receiver as secondary needs.
Right. Yeah,
absolutely. They addressed running back, but they didn't get anything.
And I'm sure they'll sign a veteran receiver that they'll then cut in August.
After the year has been forfeited, we should be in good shape for 2012.
Right.
That's what Scott says. So, what else?
Nothing.
Where are
you
emails?
Got nothing?
No, we got plenty of emails.
All right.
Okay.
Orin in Bangor, Maine.
Hatch.
I hardly know her.
No.
I, for one, am not overly concerned about the lack of pass rushers in the Patriots draft. It's a complex system that takes some serious talent to be able to step in and produce immediately. How many teams have several big holes to fill once free agency and trades are allowed? New England has one. Many teams would kill to be in that position. Sure, it's a poor free agent market. But when you only have one visible need in outstanding staff, it shouldn't be hard to address it in at least a stopgap way and be a contender. A lot of people are saying that by selecting Dowling at 33, New England took themselves out of the running for top pass rushers. But I would counter that they actually did so much earlier by taking Solder at 17. At that point, there were some very good pass rushers left. But as far as instant contribution in the Patriot system, I would argue that many of them would have been a roll of the dice. Maybe not for other teams with different defenses, but I think Belichick saw his top priority as being Tom Brady and took himself out of the elite pass rusher race at 17, not 33. After that, it was all about value and best fit for his system.
See, I don't think he thought there was an elite pass rusher that he could easily get. I don't know.
I don't think there were any pass rushers taken between 17 and 33. I don't think Cameron Jordan is a pass rusher.
No, but he was saying that
he
there
said
were...
he took himself out of the running by picking Solder at 17.
Well, I think he was
I don't
talking
think there
about...
was a pass rusher available at 17 that he couldn't
no,
have gotten at 33.
I took it differently. I thought he meant Kerrigan and whatever.
Rodney from the North...
Oh, I don't think so.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Rodney from the Northeastern University Marketing Entrepreneurship Class of 2012 has a follow-up.
Oh.
The average bench press reps by offensive linemen was 26.09. So, Eric, you were wrong on both. You got 28 or 33.
Whatever. But he didn't do offensive linemen.
No, he did
in his
tackles.
Defense. He still doesn't know. He still doesn't know the answer.
I'll bet you it goes down when you go tackles because guards are usually better bench pressers.
Yeah, usually have shorter arms and fatter, bigger.
Yeah. Now, he doesn't know the answer, but he did not calculate all offensive linemen.
Correct.
Is that? I don't want to be. I don't want you the itchy trigger finger.
I did the
I don't
tackles.
Want you to be angry.
No, I did the tackles.
Yeah, but I don't think it's either 28 or 33.
I'm leaning more towards the 28.
All linemen are 26.
So assuming this guy did it right.
Right. Well, he is from Northeastern Marketing Entrepreneurship Class of 2012. He also says, "I wanted you to know. I thought about picking up Manny Lawson, who's a free agent. I know he's a well known as a draft bust." But after watching some film on him from his previous year, I think he made a number of good plays, especially in the pass rush. Don't know if you guys are familiar with Pro Football Focus. Great, great site.
Oh, tremendous.
But they had him rated as their ninth pass rushing 3-4 outside linebacker. If you're curious, Matt Roth was ranked 12th.
Boy, have I really lost even more respect for that website.
Wait, not 12th best available, 12th overall?
Oh, available.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Didn't say.
He was not in the league for portions of last year, even though...
That might not matter to them.
Andy and I have an abnormal crush on Matt Roth.
It really is, for no reason.
He spent time of last year not in the league.
Robert writes in a reason for not drafting pass rushers. The Colts may have the two best defensive end pass rushers in football. And in our game against them last year, I think they had one sack, maybe none. The Lawrence Taylor era is over. Pass rushers from the defensive end or outside linebacker positions are playing different roles. Look at the way the Belichick in particular is adjusting with monster-sized offensive tackles and upgrading our guards with 360-pound cannon. Football is always changing. With the possibility of two shutdown
corners. Yeah, the Packers and Steelers really proved that with Harrison and Clay Matthews.
I'll tell you, someone's got to alert Mike McCarthy. He's going about it all the wrong way.
With the possibility of two shutdown corners, look for our defensive line to form a run-proof wall this year. Of course, it would be nice to sack the quarterback, but remember how well the defense improved last year. They ranked number 8 in fewest points allowed.
Why is that, Paul?
Because they forced 30, how many?
Million.
Also, how many turnovers?
They had that terrible weather game in Chicago. You know, there's
factors. I don't hold the weather because Patriots scored 30 whatever that day. I just think that it was one of those years where they really didn't stop anybody unless they forced a turnover. And if your turnovers, let's just say it for argument's sake, you only forced half as many turnovers as you did last year. Well, if you're giving up points on those drives that you don't turn the, you know, that other half that you don't force the turnover, you're in trouble.
They're already ranking the Lions as the third best defensive line in the NFL.
Wow.
I mean, I agree. I'm very much intrigued by that Lions line. I think it could be vicious. I think it could be one of those things they get like a nickname, they get posters. Because they're going to try to hurt people. That's the way Sue and Fairley play. But Fairley's never played a down in the NFL. He could be bust city.
Could a defense actually not allow any yards but give up a lot of points because... The yards are all penalty yards from Sue and Fairley.
By penalty. First down, 0. By penalty, 27.
By penalty. By penalty.
OCU Manura, I mean Markell Carter.
The Prepster writes in.
Prepster.
It's in your camp.
Did he go to St. Mark's?
I think he went to St. Mark's, like you, Eric.
I didn't go to St. Mark's.
No?
Couldn't get in. Like Brown?
No.
Is that similar?
That's
is that right?
Not at all.
Hey,
similar.
I have a question for you, not Eric, before right. I get to the Prepster's email. What does it
He's
mean in prep school parlance when they say, like, six-year former? What does that mean?
The prep schools like St. Paul's and a lot of the other ones use the British system of grades where they go, like, first and second form.
What? I just want to know. I don't know
this. I was shaking my head at the Major League Baseball player who just dropped a pop-up.
I was laughing at Fred's smirk.
No, I honestly...
Oh, now Eric's mad because we didn't listen
no,
to his hoity-toity
paloody-paloody.
I'm not done yet.
I want to know.
I was just saying I wasn't listening.
Junior high, 7th and 8th grade is first and second form. They're called forms instead of classes. So when you get to freshman year, it's third form is freshman year.
Okay.
So 4th, 5th, 6th. Sophomore, junior, senior. Your senior year, you're a sixth former, and you graduate in the form. Like, I was form of 1990. It's not class. It's called a form. That's the British version.
What a bunch of bull, huh?
So
why do they do
you,
that?
Did you go to prep
Because they're modeled at the prep schools are modeled after the English version, like Eton and
well,
those
kind
of schools.
Well, they are all from England. I mean, all the Connecticut ones, the old time. But,
right.
Yeah, but all schools are from over there.
Did you go 7
and 8? We were colonies from over there.
Well, St. Paul's didn't have first and second form, 7th and 8th grade.
Why are we writing on cave
they
walls?
Had it.
We came from there, too.
I have another question.
Paul, they had it many years ago when
we
they
used the N-word. We came from that. Don't we evolve at some point?
They had it originally. They had it originally, but then they took it away. Now they're just 3rd through 6th.
Okay.
So
third through 6th, and
which
then
is
you have to go somewhere else for 7th and 8th? Oh, no.
He wasn't listening.
No, I was, but that was a very confusing way to say it.
Third through sixth form.
We're in America, so we kind of go by grades.
But not the snobs.
You asked me if they had first and second, so I was going by the number.
No, I asked you if you had seventh and eighth is what I asked.
But, Paul, don't you know that the Revs play on the pitch?
I asked you if you went to St. Paul's in the seventh and eighth grade. And then you hit me with...
three to six.
Now, coupling on Fred's question, which... I know I'm going to regret.
Oh, boy.
What is, when a kid goes to regular high school, regular mm-hmm. public high school, and
yes.
does a post-grad year,
right.
what year is that, you know, what is it, sixth
Seventh.
Former?
No, you're a sixth former and a senior. When you're a post grad, that's kind of like an extra year of high school. You're a 19-year-old. It's like going to postgraduate college. You're not in a grade anymore.
Sounds like Harry Potter.
So it is a whole different
thing. It's a whole different thing. Like Belichick.
Do they play Quidditch here?
Idiot. Belichick gets all this credit for going to.
I'm the stuck-up idiot.
Shut up.
He didn't call you stuck-up, just an idiot.
Belichick gets always linked with having gone to Andover. He went there for 1 year as a postgrad. He didn't do the four-year thing. Actually, Andover has first and second form, too, I believe. He did the one-year postgrad thing and then went off to school. He's not an Andover person.
So you're better than him.
Oh.
Because you went all
so
4 years.
So where did he go to high school? Maryland?
Annapolis High.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he didn't get in. I thought he went to Andover.
I didn't.
No, he didn't.
He went there as a postgrad.
Yeah, which
it's
is
a joke.
It's like, you know, Hargrave Military Academy or one of those other things.
Harvard Extension School at night. That type of thing.
What? No, so when you're a postgrad, it's just an extra year of high school.
But that's a different thing.
That's
entirely.
A totally different thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so you don't like repeat your senior year?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Okay.
It's no, because you graduate from your school. You graduate from whatever high school you went to, and then
right.
you do a post-grad year because you're not quite ready
now,
for college.
Did you go to JUCO before you went to BU? No?
That was seventh form.
Read Prepster's email.
All right. Prepster says, obviously there's a lockout, and we still don't know who's definitely a free agent.
There's a lockout? Is that why we're talking about this stuff?
It's only going to get worse in the next few months.
When I looked at the list, I saw a few good names that might be affordable for the Pats. Sidney Rice is coming back from an injury, and Lamar Woodley had him from a bad season.
Franchise.
What?
He said.
Lamar Woodley from a bad season? He just got franchised.
They won't be cheap, but still, the Pats were most effective when they had a tall wideout that could go deep in a slot receiver. Sidney Rice could be that wideout while Welker plays the slot and Branch plays as their number two receiver. Lamar Woodley could provide that pass rush that they need and must know about the defense coming from the best defensive team in the league. The Pats' D-line is fine with Wilfork as a beast in the middle. Their linebackers are okay. They need a pass rusher like Woodley. They need to start Tully. They need Mike Wright to start at the right defensive end, and Warren was injured, but him start again at left end. Their safeties are fine with Chung and Merriweather. Their corners are fine as well, especially with Bodden back.
Chung and Sanders.
So,
Mike Wright is very iffy, by the way. I wouldn't rely on that.
Yeah.
Still, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, until I see him back out there and doing the things he used to do. I mean,
and even
no,
when
but
he's
I don't know if we've got any reports.
I'm talking about consecutive weeks. You know, he's able to go through training camp
in
the preseason
and
then, you know, the month of September and be okay. I have a lot of concerns about Mike Wright. But I also don't want him starting at right defensive end anyway.
Marcus Stroud likes things very simple. He says, I think the Patriots should get Larry Fitzgerald from the Cardinals and Chris Johnson from the Titans. Them two and Tom Brady would make an even greater team. Well, Christian's right.
Is that with a TIA?
There's some Cardinals news that just broke on for USA Today.
Oh, yeah? Now I'm going to look stupid.
No.
Larry Fitzgerald says he wants to go to the Patriots.
Actually, you know, you were talking about the players organizing their own workouts. Donovan McNabb is working out with the Cardinals.
Well, I was thinking about that because Heath Evans is a free agent, right?
Yeah.
And yet he was the spokesman on one of these TVs over here talking about Saints workouts. And I'm like, well, you're not really a Saint.
Did you see what he did after the draft, too?
Yeah, the only thing now is fullback.
Great draft. The only thing they didn't get was a fullback.
But that's my point. He's like lobbying to go back to New England. And he's working out with Drew Brees and the Saints. It is a weird limbo state for those guys.
Yeah.
Don McNabb, though,
it's funny because
they need a quarterback.
Right.
He's the quarterback that's available.
And that's another reason why I'm not ready to close.
That's called tampering in my mind.
Close the book on.
He could be learning the Cardinals playbook today as a member of the Washington Redskins.
Exactly. And then if he went back to the Redskins, then he would have info on another team.
That's wrong.
Well, they're not supposed to have playbooks. But.
No, but they know.
But Larry Fitzgerald, if he's there, knows the plays
and the terminology.
Yeah, this is what we call it. It's blah blah blah. And he's like, okay, I'll start using the lingo. He's learning the playbook. That ain't fair. That's wrong. That's tampering.
McNabb's like, here's our 2-minute offense. I call this play, then I throw up in the huddle. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW Progress. It's 2:00.
No more hour.
Yeah, no.
Not today.
Stick a fork in this one.
Debacle. I apologize.
Nothing really going on football-wise over the weekend. Who knows? Something they could have a ruling on the temporary stay thing, but we'll see. Otherwise, we'll see you next Tuesday.
into the AM. Y'all don't understand. Make me throw my hands in the air. Air. Oh, hot damn. This is my jam. Keep me partying to the AM. Y'all don't understand. Make me throw my hands in the air.
We'll see you next Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.